Heart Radio Station.
This is Rover's Morning Glory. Rover.
Backed up for some reason.
Doogie.
Don't touch it!
Dieter. Charlie.
Compare your wife to a toilet.
And Jeffrey.
I don't know what to say.
Streaming on roverradio.com. Rover's Morning Glory starts now.
Morning. What's happening? It is Wednesday, October 30th, 2019. Good morning. It's Rover's Morning Glory. I'm Rover. Doogie is here.
Good morning, sir.
Dieter is here.
Yo!
You're with us as well. 866-YO-ROVER is our number. 866-967-6837. That's how you reach the show. Give us a call at that number. You can text us at that number that comes into the studio in real time. You can tweet us. Just put @RoverRadio on your tweet. Comes into the studio in real time as well. But the best way, give us a call, 866-967-6837. I'll get to your email here in just a moment. Is Jeffrey here? I didn't see him when I walked in.
Nor did I.
There he is.
Oh, he's here.
Oh, welcome
back.
Yeah,
I had a drop of deuce.
Oh.
Oh, that was you?
I had some oatmeal for breakfast, so
it goes right through you. Everybody knows
that. Yeah, so I had unfortunately, at least I made it onto the air, made to the air on time, so.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, how'd you get into work today?
Charlie was nice enough to give me a ride in, so I do appreciate that, Charlie.
It was a fun ride in.
Yeah?
Go pick up Jeffrey, then I got to swing by go pick up Dom, because he was drunk yesterday, so I had to drive him home yesterday, so all three of us just in the Bronco.
Oh, my God.
Like an Uber.
Yeah, it was a good ride in to wake up.
Was it
half hour, 45 minutes early to do this.
Was it a silent ride in? Like, if you came to pick me up, to bring me to work,
nobody would speak.
Probably be silent the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, I'd have to put a mirror under your nose to make sure you're alive, because it would just be silent.
Tell me how it was with Jeffrey and Dom and you.
Jeffrey and I drove in, and he was telling me about his car, you know, the car accident he was in. We're discussing that at length, and what his future plans are and everything. Uh-huh. And then we went and picked up Dom. Well, Dom's having some sort of major pain. I don't know what he did. So as soon as he got in the car, he starts complaining that my car basically wasn't good enough for him to ride in.
Ah.
There's too many fumes in the car. And it was bothering his, because it's the Bronco, you know. This is an 86 car. Mm-hmm. This is a car from 86. It's not the best car. But he's complaining. And then he admitted, finally, it's not really the fumes. It's the fact of what he ate last night is causing his gut to almost explode. And I said, well, what did you eat? So now Jeffrey had to crawl in the back seat. So not just me, Jeffrey, and Dom. Dom says that last night he was going to eat sausage and biscuits, you know, the classic Southern meal.
Uh-huh.
But the biscuits he had were bad biscuits, so instead he just made pasta. So he just
biscuits were bad, huh?
I'm not sure. So he ate just pasta, like spaghetti and sausage gravy. That was what he had. I've never heard of such a meal in my life. This is what hobos eat.
So,
and so then he's complaining and just aching in pain from whatever he ate, blaming it on my car.
So it's like biscuits and gravy, but
take out the biscuits.
Biscuits, you add spaghetti.
It's just spaghetti and gravy. That's what this man eats.
The biscuits were like a day old, and so they were in a baggie, so they had gotten kind of like soggy.
Yeah.
So I was like, we can just scoop this up with a spoon. So I was like, put it over some pasta. So it actually was very good, but I'm paying the price for it right now.
Okay. All right. Let me read you some email. Doug writes, let's face it, Snitzer is a douchebag. The guy pretends to be this woke liberal, yet he condescends and patronizes JLR every time he's in the studio because it's apparent Snitzer views him as beneath him.
Oh, I saw this guy's tweet. What a dick.
Pretty funny coming from a woke liberal who falls all over himself virtue signaling.
I'm going to beat your freaking ass, dude. Yeah. I'm not a nice guy. I don't know where this guy got this from.
He should be ashamed of himself, but instead I guarantee he'll fly off the handle at this email and throw a hissy fit because he's a man-child who's been a loser his whole life.
I'm the one falling off the handle. This guy's like tweeting and emailing. This guy's got problems. Whatever. Hey, live with it. You're a loser.
Luger.
Christine says, I saw this on Facebook and thought Jeffrey could use this for 2020. I don't know what it is. Is it a picture or something? Does Snitzer even know what it is? Does he have it?
What are you talking about?
This email here.
What's the email?
Jeffrey's new community service idea. Saw this on Facebook, thought Jeffrey could use this for 2020. Here it is. Oh, it's
that's good.
Free mammogram. It's like a guy with his head in a box. And it says free mammogram. It has two little cutouts for the boobs to go in. And then his face is right there. So I don't know if this is like a Halloween costume.
It's got to be. It's funny.
So maybe Jeffrey could use that.
Got to remember, I'm not a licensed physician, so I can't give out mammograms. So let's.
But that guy,
it is kind of funny, though. Uh-huh. But in actual reality, I'm not a licensed doctor, so I can't do that.
This guy right here, though, to you, that looks like a licensed.
Yeah, yeah. That's what his wife goes to.
I doubt that, seriously. But I say it's a funny idea.
Okay. Right? Is he loud?
Brian writes, I love the show, Rover. You have to play the song Cracked Windshield by Big and Rich. It word for word describes Jeffrey's car crash.
I've looked all over for the song. I cannot find the song existing. I did find a Big and Rich song that just mentions a cracked windshield, uh-huh. And that's as close as I could get.
And does it word for word?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
So here is the... This is all I could find. Right here. Mentions a crack windshield coming up. Get ready. Here you go.
I've got a crack in my windshield. I know exactly how it feels.
That's it.
Okay.
The only thing I think is there must be another song out there that he's talking about, not by Big and Rich, but I could not find it.
Well, speaking of Jeffrey, Dave writes, Yo, Rover, yesterday when Jeffrey was asked if something was wrong with his brakes, he said he had a brake job. Well, Jeffrey, let me, before I even read this email, Jeffrey, so... there was some speculation that you told a girl or someone that you... that your brakes were bad in your car.
Perfectly.
What?
Just normal brake maintenance. Every year I have to replace the pads and the rotors.
Start over because
it is on. But every year I have to replace the pads. Every couple of years you got to replace the pads and the rotors. That's
every year?
No, it's normal maintenance, dude.
Listen.
It's normal car maintenance. My brakes worked fine prior to the crash and up to the day of the crash. They worked fine.
You didn't tell anybody?
I didn't tell anybody.
You didn't tell anyone that your brakes
were anybody anything.
All right, so it says here that when I asked you if something was wrong with your brakes, you said you had a brake job when?
About 9 months ago.
Now, he says, this guy continues, I found that interesting because that's when Jeffrey got his tax return.
Mm.
Back when he got his tax return, he was asked if his friend was working on his car because he always has this friend that comes out of the woodwork.
Right, tax return time.
Yep,
right.
Tax return time. This guy's out doing all. We're got to completely overhaul your transmission.
Right.
You know.
No, it was just replacing the pads and the rotors. I mean, it's a pretty simple job. I mean, if I had the tools, I'd do it myself.
So this guy says, at the time, you said no, your friend didn't do any work on your car back at tax return.
It was likely prior to my getting that. Because the pads and rotors is like maybe like $70 for all the parts.
No, for brake pads?
For pads and rotors.
No.
I don't know, but I'm just saying it was prior to my
getting
my tax.
You get these replaced every year?
He doesn't do that.
Every year?
Not every year, but after, I mean, you can't time. I know I'm not lying. I'm just saying when you hear that rubbing noise in your front in your front brakes, you know that's when the pads are worn and you have to. You do the pads and the rotors, and your bases are covered.
I replaced my two rear brake pads. It was like $500 just for the two.
And
so it's not 70.
How often do you replace those?
Oh, like, years.
You've probably done it once on your car.
Yeah, I just did.
You've had it for how long?
Yeah, since 2014. So what? Five years? Yeah. I just did the rear ones.
Uh huh.
I didn't even do the front ones yet. So it's not every year you have to replace them.
Well, the amount of driving that Jeffrey does, maybe you do.
Yeah, he does more than me, yeah. Can we get a full report of that whole story, Rover, later on?
Yes.
From start to finish?
Yes.
Okay.
Julie wants to know if you have an idea of what kind of car you want to get, Jeffrey.
Oh, I have an offer, too, for him. He could come back.
You have any idea?
What would you like? Your ideal car?
I'm not really decided because at this point, I think it's right now a little too early for me to consider getting another vehicle at this point.
We got to get on this pretty soon, you know?
How are you going to get around?
You get a ride every day from Charlie?
Yeah, you want to push this off until what, summer?
Jeffrey's car was totaled in an accident on Sunday night for those of you that maybe missed that. We'll get into that.
Yeah, we got to start looking for other cars.
All right. So we'll talk about that.
We can wait. Don't want to rush into it.
Maybe it was. Yeah, it was Sunday night, right?
Yeah, Sunday night.
Sunday night. Okay. He wasn't here on Monday. Julie has a 2001 Mercedes C-Class. If you'd like to buy that cheap, she says.
Take it.
You want that?
Well, let's see. I think those high-end cars are very expensive to maintain, too. But Dieter, you have to understand. I'm looking at economics from an economic standpoint. My dad sold cars for 35 years. He knows those higher end cars like your Mercedes Benz, BMWs, Audis,
what else?
Maseratis, cars like that. The parts are very specialized and expensive.
Which one out of those is the most expensive? Would you say?
I would say the Maserati.
Ooh. Maserati's nuts on your face.
Funny.
He was telling me on the way in. Jeffrey, come back in. On the way in, he said he did find like a Dodge Challenger or Charger.
It was a I saw on Facebook that Facebook has those sales things, and I said this has got to be a scam.
There's a 2010. So, no, he did not say a scam. I said that sounds like a scam because he's like
there's a
2010 Dodge Challenger up in Michigan. It's only $900.
$900,
and it's 2010. So he's thinking about that.
Yeah,
what was your offer,
dude? But you said it's probably a scam because nobody was selling cars.
Oh, you're gonna wait? All right,
we'll get to it.
Get the Dodge.
I
Challenge.
Say you get that. I was just gonna say that same thing. Dodge Challenge.
But Corey the Board Op is selling a car for $600.
Jeffrey, you want that?
I mean, $600. It needs new brakes.
Jeffrey, come in.
Slightly.
Yeah,
but still, $600, I mean, you can't beat that.
To Chevy Malibu, $600.
From Corey.
I have to think about that because if I ever put new brakes on the thing,
he says maybe they're kind of going.
So. Well, if I... I'd like to have a mechanic take a look at the car to make sure there's nothing else that might be needed on that car.
Jeffrey, this accident happened Sunday evening, right?
That's correct.
All right. What were you doing earlier Sunday?
Sunday, I was at my wrestling practice. You know, we were putting the ring back up.
Mm-hmm.
I came home, and I took my kids to go costume shopping.
Mm.
And
What time did you go to wrestling?
Huh?
What time did you go to your restaurant?
It was between noon and 4 o'clock.
Okay, so this makes sense. That puts you at the scene of this.
Uh-oh.
Eric says, why was Jeffrey driving erratically on I-77 South, screaming into his phone at 12:40 p.m. on Sunday?
Oh, I was talking to my friend Rick. I was saying, look, I was running a little late. I was on my way down there.
You're yelling at him, though?
I wasn't yelling at him. I wasn't yelling at him or anything.
You were driving
like a normal, sane human being. I was just letting him know, hey, look, I'm on my en route right now. No, I wasn't driving erratically either.
Okay. Let's see. Michelle writes, not to be a douche, Rover, and I'm sure you hate my emails, but you and Bert said you love excessive drinking, and I wanted to know why. If alcohol kills more people than the opioids the media loves to hate, is no one talking about that? Well,
drinking's fun. Yeah, I don't think shooting up heroin looks that fun.
I don't know. Does drinking kill more people than opioids? I mean, people aren't overdosing on alcohol, dropping dead like they are off of heroin. Well, how are people dying of liver disease?
Like at the age of 65 or something.
Yeah. Years and years of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know how you'd compare the two.
I don't. Anyhow, I love not living in pain every day, working more than 10 hours a week, walking, participating in life. Opioid pain meds save lives if taken as directed. Taking them away from veterans, elderly, disabled, CPPs, whatever that means, cancer and hospice patients and people with extreme acute injuries is a human rights violation.
Have you advocated for this?
No, I
take away veterans' opioids?
No, of course not.
Why would you? Who would say that?
Yeah, I don't know what she's talking about. What is this? Did she send a picture too, or
it's
something?
It's just an article that talks about alcohol or opioids.
Well, it said Snapchat. It looks like a Snapchat.
That's where I get my news from.
No. It
when
looks
I'm high
like
on
a
opioids.
Photo of herself.
Yeah, she sent a photo of herself.
Oh, okay.
Do we want to see this?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay,
there you
all
go.
Right. All right.
There we go.
But she also sent a news article in there, which I did not attach. But yes, she's got that. Are you crabby today?
Who?
You.
Fart Box for Life writes, Yo, Rover, you previously stated that the airborne effectiveness of fentanyl was BS. Can you please explain how police officers and ER nurses in Oberlin are collapsing after a fentanyl exposure at the Walgreens in Oberlin today? Well, I don't know. I can only tell you what experts say. I can only tell you what I've seen people do, and they've actually put fentanyl into their hand. It doesn't cause you to drop dead right then. It doesn't cause you to pass out.
The article says unknown substance too.
Yeah. I don't know. But I doubt that they came in contact with fentanyl just by touching it and go, oh, drop dead. But people want to believe that. People, you know, that's a much scarier thing to believe. Sure. Jordan writes, I'm an RMG fan. I've been listening since I was about 13. I've never had the money to buy an RMG hoodie until now. My favorite is one that Rover wears often. It's the black with the orange and blue logo. I'm not Rover's size, nor would I think he would sell any, but Charlie is an entrepreneur, and I would be willing to buy Charlie's old RMG hoodie if he's willing to sell it and has any. I'm a female and 5'3".
Perfect.
And since exact Charlie size. is a smaller guy, I would love to have his as an amazing piece of memorabilia.
Would you sell it?
Yeah, 200. No, I like to keep all of mine. I don't know. I only have one of each of our hoodies, so I don't know if I'd want to sell. I actually don't know which one she's talking about either.
Jordan, we may.
It was last year's?
Yeah, it was last year's.
Okay.
It was when I just had it on, I think, yesterday or the day before. It is a really nice one. Yeah, that's a cool one. We may have a handful of those that are not for sale anywhere. But we may have a handful of those sitting around here that we used for exchanges and stuff.
Here, we don't. You do the. You may at your house. We don't have anything here.
We might have like 20
something.
Of them.
Okay.
And I think they're either here or maybe they are at my house. But regardless, I think we might do a Rover's Morning Glory garage sale. But now that the weather is getting cold. Now's not a great time to do it, but maybe that's your best bet, Jordan, is to wait for that. And we've done that once before where we just clear out everything that we have.
Yeah.
And it's just a fire sale. Speaking of stuff for sale, the dumb cheated on his wife with a prostitute in Nevada t-shirt. We'll go on sale Friday at roverradio.com. Snitz, we'll have to update that graphic a little bit, and I'll tell you why. Yeah, I chose a different color. So that's white print. Yeah, I chose. I go, let's. We've never done the color that I chose.
What color did you choose?
Marigold.
Ooh.
The print is.
It looked like a goldish yellow. Not the that's white
marigold.
The, but it looks white on the TV.
Yeah, that's.
He said he changed the color, so that one is white.
Well, I'm just trying to clarify.
Not updated.
And then he did clarify it when he said he's changed the graphic.
And I said, Snitzer, you're going to have to update that because
I think we all understood
it. Different
people
color.
People can't see what you're talking about. I'm trying to clarify, you jackass.
Okay.
Hi.
So Friday and Friday only, Dieter. I thought about this. You go, oh, people need it to be Friday's long enough.
Okay.
Friday,
every year we get
one
people.
Day and one day only.
Okay. Mark my words.
24 hours starting Friday morning.
Okay.
So we'll go all day, all night. You can purchase the official Dumb Cheated on His Wife with a Prostitute in Nevada t-shirt. Now, if you're an RMG Plus subscriber, you can order that right now. So that's an advantage for you. You don't have to get in on that one day. You can order that now. And I also didn't mention, I sent out an email to RMG Plus subscribers yesterday mentioning that, but I did not tell them this, that, and only if you're an RMG Plus subscriber for the time being, maybe we'll do this for everyone on Friday, but you can get at a discount Jeffrey's Cuck Cook Cookbook? The hell is it called? The Cuck Cook. Yeah, there it is. The Cookbook. I had to turn around and look at it. At a big discount, and a Rover's Morning Glory lanyard available at a big discount, too.
So this is real quick, but it kind of looks like this. Goldish?
Yes, yes.
It's more in the
I'll send you the image. I have it. I'll send it to you.
Looks cool.
I just have to find it. Jason writes, good morning. This may have already been brought up, but it's hard to listen consistently at work. But there's a giant Dumb Cheated on His Wife with a Prostitute billboard on 480 just there before you get the Bailey's chocolate.
I haven't seen it.
I freaked out. I couldn't believe it. P.S. I'm glad Dumb is back, but he deserves every bit of ball busting he gets for the trouble he has caused. That's true. And Andrea writes, is this Dumb's ex-wife? Dumb is a poor excuse for a human being. Him on the aftermath was pathetic. He's so worried about his family and kids hearing and seeing that he cheated on his wife with a prostitute in Nevada, but he has no regard for how pathetic and immature he was acting on the show. He got sloppy drunk and was spitting his gross beer saliva all over the floor, slurping and gurgling purposefully into the microphone. All for attention, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It sounded like I was doing the aftermath from inside of a zoo. Like, just these noises, these animal noises coming from him.
I did not watch this, I had quite a few people email me about this.
Doogie had to remove him.
Johnny says Dumb on the aftermath was pure comedy and content. I understand that would be too much on the air, but for the boring aftermath, it was exactly what it needed. Charlie kept claiming majority hate Dumb's behavior, but I beg to differ. Those are just complainers.
Okay. Anybody's welcome to watch it and make their own decision.
Anyhow, so yeah, you can watch that if you're an RMG Plus subscriber. You can watch the aftermath, which they do every day after the show, Monday through Thursday. And then on the Friday, we do the Friday leftovers. The whole show continues for RMG Plus only. But right now, if you're an RMG Plus subscriber, you can order your t-shirt. It's a cool looking t-shirt. Also, I'll send Snitz over the actual graphic.
I think I just got it.
Okay. There it is. Yeah, that's the actual one. I like that color. What do you guys think?
It's great. Different. Yeah.
Doesn't that look way better than the white?
I think it looks awesome.
I think that the white, it was just a little bit plain. This has got a little, you know.
It jazzed it up a bit.
Yeah, it stands out more.
A little pizzazz, right,
exactly.
Charlie? Yeah. All right, I've got to take a break. Douchey, you do have the shizzy coming up. What do you have on the way?
The day before trick-or-treaters collect free candy, Taco Bell is handing out free tacos. I'll tell you why coming up next.
All right, we'll get to that in just a moment. I'll tell you who to keep here, Flat. There's someone I want to talk to on the phone. I just spotted it. I would have taken the call earlier, but I just looked at it right now. So everyone on the phone, hold on.
And somebody just died, too, that comes on our show a lot.
Yes.
Pretty sad about it.
Dieter, I probably shed a tear.
Well, I think we all, yeah.
I don't know who that is. So
he's been on probably 2-3 times. Funny. I think he's one of the funniest guys in movies.
I'm going to make a guess. All right. When I come back, I'll make a guess and then you can tell me. I really have no idea, so I'm not going to look at the news or anything. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's an iHeart radio station.
Maybe put some headphones on. Welcome back to Rover's Morning Glory.
The shizzy is coming up in just a moment. What do you have on the way, Doogie?
So it's the day before trick-or-treaters are going to collect free candy. Taco Bell is handing out free tacos. I'll tell you why next.
Nice.
And Dieter did tease somebody that's been in studio with us a few times, passed away. I'll tell you who it is next.
All right, when we get to the shizzy, before you tell me, I'm going to make a guess. Anonymous, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Anonymous.
Yo, Rover.
Yo.
Hey, I was just calling. I have with the opiate exposure in Oberlin.
Yes.
I have a family member that was one of the people that was exposed, and they don't necessarily think it was fentanyl because the Narcan did not work on anybody.
What was it? Was it a powder? What was it? What did it look like? What was the substance?
They don't know yet. They don't necessarily see anything. They still have everybody hospitalized that was exposed, even though they're all stable, just until the crime lab figures out what was actually going on.
This sounds more like the stuff, like the chemicals that people use to cook meth, which are very toxic. And I mean, I don't know how that many people would be exposed to it. I don't know. Maybe if it's in a car, if it's in a contained area, and then someone goes into the car to try to rescue people, I guess you could pass out from that. But I did a story a while ago. We talked about this. I saw these experts who said fentanyl. That's what you hear is that, oh my god, you get like a granule of it on your finger, a cop does, or a first responder, and they overdose. And
I believe that,
That's just not true. You may believe it, Dieter, but it's just not true because it's not absorbed through the skin that way. I mean, I saw a video of a guy holding a bunch of fentanyl in his hand. And he's like, here, look, I'm holding fentanyl right now. I'm not dropping dead. I don't know what they were exposed to, but I don't think it was just fentanyl granules. But now, how are the people doing, Anonymous? This family member of yours, what happened to them exactly? I mean, were they knocked out, or what was it?
Some of them were actually out cold. One of the cops, one of the paramedics, one of the firefighters, I think, on scene, and then some of the ER staff didn't completely go out, but elevated heart rate, all that stuff, and then so they kept everybody, and I think last I heard everybody's stable now. They're just waiting to figure out what was actually going on before now, they release everybody.
What it could, and I don't know for sure, but the ER staff, what's possible, I know this is going to sound crazy, but the experts in the story I was talking about with the fentanyl exposure, and they said that the reason why these people feel like, oh my god, my heart's racing, I got to be Narcan or whatever, if they believe that they have been exposed to something, the power of the mind is an incredible thing.
The placebo?
Yes. So if someone legitimately was knocked out, whatever, you know, they an ambulance driver goes unconscious. And they, we don't know what it is, but people are like, oh my God, maybe he touched fentanyl. And then they take him to the hospital. Those people in the ER working on him are going to be like, oh my God, he touched fentanyl. Oh, what if I touch it? And they're like, they start freaking out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess we'll find out what it was.
Yeah, this was very seasoned ER staff. So I really don't think that that's the case at this point.
So your family member must be a member of the ER staff, then, I take it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So. So no, they. I don't think it was a mind trick for them because they've been dealing with it for years and they know it, and you know it's an everyday thing.
Yeah.
So this was definitely a different situation.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll be curious to see what it actually turns out to be. Anonymous, thank you. I appreciate it.
Fentanyl would screw you up if you somebody blew it in your face, right?
Does it go in your eyes?
Like if I had a bunch in my hand and I blew it right in your face, that would screw you up.
I can't remember if the experts even talked about that. I think that it really sort of has to be absorbed in through the mucous membranes. I mean, you'd have to
your nose inhale is a mucous membrane, right?
Yeah, well, you'd have to inhale that.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Yeah, and so I don't know. Steven, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Steven.
Morning, Rover.
Hey.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. What's happening?
So, my dad's birthday just came by. We decided to go to the wrestling event to see Jeffrey. The whole family listens to the show. I've been listening since I was 16, so I'm 29 now, so like 15 years. So, we all went to the show and got to see Jeffrey wrestle. And the beginning of it, you know, it was probably the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It was the best time. When Jeffrey came out to wrestle, I mean, it was like you just entered WWE and The Rock came out and was performing. That's how serious the look on his face was. It was amazing.
Why was the beginning so bad?
Yeah, what was the beginning all about?
Some of the wrestlers that they had and their characters, it was very poor and very poorly put together. But I mean, I haven't laughed so hard in so long. That's just how bad it was.
So it's almost like it's like Saved by the Bell. You remember that show when you were a kid, Dieter?
Bayside.
It was so bad that it was good in a way. And that Jeffrey's wrestling show must be like that. He's with these guys that are like 45-year-old fat guys that take this very seriously.
Very seriously. They're waiting for their big break.
So it was bad. And then when Jeffrey came out, did things get any better, or was it just more entertaining because it's Jeffrey?
It was just more entertaining because of Jeffrey, obviously, you know. And the person that he was facing, I forget his name, but he was wearing these bright pink tight spandex. And it was just... It was. You had to have been there to see it. It was a funny sight.
And Charlie, this isn't his wrestling song. You would think it's Top Gun, but that's not his theme song.
Oh, that's not
his Ace name. Maverick. Maverick.
No, it's not. Maverick's theme song.
What's
it's
your theme
not
song?
The Top Gun.
I use the theme from. I come out to the theme from Airwolf.
Airwolf.
Yeah, completely throws you off.
What? You come out to the theme from Airwolf.
Yes.
This gets you pumped up.
Yeah. The crowd goes.
I loved Airwolf when I was a kid, that TV show. Now, you want to talk about bad TV shows? Go back, watch an episode of Airwolf. It's unwatchable. But
well, any show back then. Saved by the Bell, if you go back and watch it.
So this is just Knight Rider, but it's a helicopter?
It's exactly what it was, pretty much.
Yeah, just that the helicopter doesn't talk back to you.
Yeah, Airwolf, the helicopter wasn't.
Sentient?
It didn't have the brains like Kit did.
No brains?
Well, Steven, I'm glad that...
makes sense.
I'm glad that you had a good time. Jeffrey, you were wrestling. Mm-hmm.
Did you win the belt?
Yeah, how'd it go?
It was a really good match, you know?
Did you win the belt?
Did you win?
Unfortunately, I came up short. No, but I went in there and gave him my all. I showed the guy. I gave him
a run for his money. They never let him win,
right before he walks out of the curtain, they go, Jeffrey, you're going to lose. Now go out. And they push him out the door. He loses every match. How come you don't win the belt?
But I went in there and... I did the best that I can, you know? The guy had more experience than I did.
Get the Intercontinental...
It's Rubber City Wrestling's Light Heavyweight Championship was what I was the belt I was wrestling for.
Mm. Rick in Vero Beach, Florida. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Yo, what's happening?
I'm calling just to let... I'm calling just so you know I'm prescribed fentanyl patches from my oncologist cancer doctor. I have terminal cancer, and it's a patch that absorbs through the skin. It's fentanyl.
Yeah, that is obviously it is possible, but when we were talking about
possible.
What?
It is. It's absorbed through my skin.
Yeah. I'm explaining that. So the experts, I guess I should say, that have talked about whether fentanyl can be, if a first responder just touches fentanyl, does it immediately cause them to overdose? And the answer is no. And they said the maker of your fentanyl, Patrick, spent hundreds of millions of dollars developing this patch. It's a lot more complicated than people would.
The fact still remains the same. It is absorbed through the skin, no matter what. You're being way more detailed on your diagnosis of the fentanyl now than what I heard earlier when you were broadcasting it. But the fact of the matter is, no matter how many millions or billions or nothing at all spent
right.
on it.
And this is a critical point, Rick. Rick.
Yeah, but not like just not a big a pile of fentanyl.
This is a critical point. This is why it cost them hundreds of millions of dollars to develop the patch that you put onto your arm or wherever you put it, because it is not something that you can just touch and it's absorbed through the skin. They had to develop a patch that with great technical difficulty to actually make it work. I can show you. I can play you the thing. I'm just telling you. First responders
anything
aren't dropping dead from
your
this.
Your skin on your body is absorbed into your body. Anything that you touch or grab with your hands, no matter what it is absorbed through your body in some manner.
Not at a therapeutic or a rate. I mean, so for instance, if I just cup Coca-Cola in my hand, am I getting all the sugar that I would if I ingested it through drinking it?
Well, changing the subject don't make it any.
You just changed the subject. You're the one that brought it up.
You're the one saying that. Now answer the question: do I get the same?
Well, you're picking apart my comment.
No, but if you're like thirsty, you couldn't jump into a pool and just sit around in a pool and it would just absorb all the water into you, right? And you'd be hydrated.
Oh yeah, you come up with 5,000 gallons of water and you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's just kind of a dumb thing to say. What you said was dumb.
You pick on somebody's ignorance, and that ain't right.
What?
Ain't right. I don't know nothing you guys? About none of
that. You're the one that called in to say this.
All the time, right on the radio. All right, I'm done talking to you.
Okay, hang up then.
Don't be so mean to Jeffrey.
All right, thanks.
Don't be so mean to Jeffrey.
You must be. He's from Canada. Yeah, that's why he's so sensitive. I could tell he's Canadian. He's calling from Florida, but I know he's Canadian. Oh, he hung up.
We're sorry.
He's Canadian,
yes,
right?
That guy's Canadian.
Definitely. No wonder he's so sensitive. No. We talked about that at the time. When we talked about fentanyl and the people didn't believe me. I'll play you the clips. We have the clips. We have articles of all the experts. There are people that do this for a living. And they point out this is not absorbed through the skin if you just touch it. This is why the company, and they mentioned the drug maker, had to spend half a billion dollars to develop this patch and some sort of like substance that makes it absorb through the skin, like a solution that the fentanyl is in or whatever. Like, this is not whatever. Doogie, are you ready for the shizzy?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hit a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
So the National Guard had to be called in to help tackle these California wildfires. We have so many different factors going in this. We have 700 National Guard troops that were called in, and they said that they were trying to help these firemen that are just, it's just crazy. We have about 400,000 households without power as the fires were threatening to spread further this morning, and they said that all of these soldiers were called in. It's in Northern California. People in Los Angeles are all expected to get out, and they even raised the alarm to where it's the highest that they've ever raised it for people to evacuate.
Ever?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. I'm glad we don't live there.
It's crazy.
Just because of that. The fires, the earthquakes.
There's one fire called the Getty Fire, Rover, and yes. It burned more than 600 acres in L.A., and you have a video that shows what might have actually started that fire.
All right, here it is. This looks like dash cam video. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. There's no audio, but you'll see on the right, see that big flash?
Yeah.
So that was a branch fell down and hit a power line.
And that caused...
It just starts sparking. There's the fire right there, starting.
Wait.
So a branch falls, hits a power line.
Spark.
Starts the wildfire. Okay, so now everyone will blame the power company for that problem.
It is their
or
fault
the tree,
again.
The lumberjacks. They should cut those trees down.
I mean...
Trim them.
Well, they said that the fire department had done tree and brush clearance in that area as recently as July, just in an effort to keep those lines clear. So they are aware of that. That's what they went out there to do, is just to make sure everything is clear so nothing happens, nothing falls. So we do have a couple of celebrities in the news regarding the fire. LeBron James, he had to evacuate his home, and he took to Twitter to kind of complain in a tweet because all the hotels were booked, and he had nowhere to go. So he had to do a little damage control. So he repaid the firefighters that saved his mansion from the fire. 3 o'clock in the morning, he had to evacuate this week. And so for Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, he sent a taco truck to feed the first responders at their base camp. The owner said that it was about $3,000 was spent on the tacos to feed everybody, which was very nice.
Yeah.
But again, I think it was damage control. Let's fast forward to John Cena, who ended up giving $500,000.
He's
little different, yeah.
Owned LeBron there.
Well, he plays a firefighter in the new movie Playing with Fire, so he's donating $500,000 to the firefighting efforts, and he said that right now California is in dire straits, so he wanted to make a donation to help them out. Huntington Beach, California. There were a record number of swimmers stung by stingrays over the weekend. Officials said 176 people were injured by the creatures after they were swimming too far into the ocean. There was a low tide, and with the warmer temperatures, it brought a lot of people into the water, but they were going out further than they probably should.
That's a lot of people in one weekend at one place? Yep. 176?
Yeah, it was a school of rays, which is called fever. And they're usually found in shallow coastal waters in these kinds of seas. The temperature was just right. So all of these stingrays were out there. I did, when I was on vacation, I ended up swimming with stingrays.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd walk.
Hold it?
I did.
Yeah.
And you walk when we would snorkel out, and they, you know, they bury themselves in the, you don't know that they're there. So you're walking on them. You step on them accidentally. They're like, you should shuffle your feet so you don't
do
that.
Did you step on one? Like,
no, but
when you're doing this thing and it's at, where was this? At Atlantis? Is that where you did it?
No, I did this at Disney.
Oh. Do they have, do they like debarb those stingrays?
I think they have to.
They do.
They do.
They're letting little kids hold them.
Yeah.
And how do they keep them in? This is in some sort of pen in the water?
It's on their private island. Yeah. They do have it tapered off, like a netting. When the hurricane just came, they ended up releasing all the stingrays out into the, because they thought it was just cruel to leave them there. So they released all of the stingrays out into the ocean. And I don't know, I forget the number. Say they have 100 of them that were in there. They released them, like 92 came back on their own after the hurricane, and they said eventually more, when we were out there, two were spotted where we were at on the island. So they said when everybody, the crews left, they were going to go out there and get the two that people, you'll hear tourists,
they get them? I mean,
well, you'll hear the tourists say, hey, there's a couple of stingrays over there. And they're the ones that are supposed to be in that diving area. These divers that train with them, they know these stingrays. And the stingrays know them.
How do they know the difference between, aren't there just natural stingrays that are in that area over there?
They all
know. How do they know the wild ones from the ones that they've debarbed?
They'll know. I mean, and then they can check them.
Oh, that's weird, isn't it? All right.
It's pretty cool. But the stingrays came back to that area. They just weren't in the pen. So then they were going to go get them. But you could easily step on one and get stung. 176 people stung by the stingrays. Okay, so let's talk World Series. Tonight, game seven. the Washington Nationals beat the Houston Astros 7-2 last night to force a final game in the World Series. So the grand finale set, Minute Maid Park in Houston, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which tells me why Taco Bell is giving away free tacos today. That's thanks to the World Series stolen base. So they always do some type of promotion. If a base is stolen, you get free tacos, and that did happen in Game 1. So from 2 to 6 p.m., local time, consumers can walk into participating restaurants nationwide to get the freebie that costs just under $2.
All right, now what?
I'll end with the story of the person that died. And you said you were going to guess. Dieter loves this guy.
Louis Anderson.
Aw, no.
No, I really love this guy. This guy is super funny.
I love Louis too. I would be very sad to hear that.
But this guy's a different level of funny to me. I mean, in so many movies, I remember just holding my side laughing so hard at this guy. He's been on the show, I think, twice.
African-American gentleman?
The guy, what's his face? What's the guy's name?
Here comes Jeffrey. He's got him. I saw who died.
I can't remember the guy's name. I know who you're. I know who you're gonna say.
I'm gonna say it before Jeffrey does.
Go ahead.
John Witherspoon.
Yeah,
comedian, actor. Dieter loves him. 77 years old, and his family did release a statement that they're in shock. So I don't know what he died of.
77.
But
it was like he didn't have.
Right, you know, it just does some
heart attack today.
Yeah.
Okay. So very sad.
Do you remember when we met him? There's a quick picture of Jeffrey meeting him in the hallway.
What's that in the background, though?
I don't know.
What is that back there?
Can we zoom in?
Someone behind Jeffrey just trying to ruin the. Jeffrey's just someone's ruining that picture back there.
He has a habit of doing that.
Who does?
Dieter. Because I took the same picture with John Witherspoon, and there's somebody in mine.
I don't think I moved. I just stayed there.
There you go. That's a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Radio Station. Dumb down your smart speaker with Rover's Morning Glory. Alexa, play 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio.
Anxious, depressed, paranoid.
You'll fit right in with us. Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
I have all sorts of stuff to talk about this morning. Ellen in Allentown, Pennsylvania. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. What's happening?
I was just listening to the fentanyl debate that you were speaking on about, you know, its absorbance and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a pharmacy technician, so while I don't have, like, the standings of a pharmacist, you know, I am aware of, like, the fentanyl patches and things like that. And I thought it was interesting because the CDC does say that it is, you know, on the page, it specifically says it's absorptive through the skin. But when I talked to my pharmacist, she said that actually, like, from the studies that were done and stuff, it is very unlikely that small, unintentional skin exposure to tablet or powder would cause significant opioid toxicity. So it kind of sounds like while the CDC obviously is erring on the big side of caution, sounds like it's really unlikely for you to absorb it through the skin unless you were to inhale it or something like that.
Yes, and they actually, you mentioned the CDC. The CDC's website actually no longer states that touching fentanyl can be deadly.
Oh, really?
They've removed that. That's right. And that's because toxicologists have said, and there's a guy, it all started with a cop in Ohio.
That one article, yeah.
One article, and the guy's like, oh my God, I had some white powder after this drug bust on my shirt, and I brushed it off with my hand, and I overdosed. And they it took four doses of Narcan for him to recover.
Right.
That was the story. And every toxicologist that the New York Times spoke with said, impossible, didn't happen, and that the amount of Narcan that they gave that cop was enough to be therapeutic if he were shot with an elephant tranquilizer. And they said, there's no way you could have... So what they said was, that doesn't mean that he was exposed to, like, a huge amount of fentanyl. What it means is, he didn't recover after they gave him the Narcan four times or three times because the Narcan wasn't doing anything. His symptoms were him freaking out. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I touched fentanyl. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. That was his. It was and they say, I know it sounds crazy, but they say that the people who are having this reaction are really freaking themselves out. Ellen, thank you. There's some good articles on this in the New York Times, Vice, Slate.com has one, which you can Google. It's called "The Viral Story About the Cop Who Overdosed by Touching Fentanyl is Nonsense." And they talk to many toxicologists in there. There's even a guy, I've played this video. Here's a guy, and he might cuss in this video. I don't know, but here he is.
If it was possible for touching it, it would be happening. But just to make this a little more pronounced.
Here he is putting fentanyl on his hand.
Now, if I'm shaking a little bit, I'm not nervous. I'm in recovery. And this is the first time I've had this much heroin around me in about 7 years.
He has fentanyl on the palm of his hand right there. And he's doing this to prove this is not going to... I have a whole pile of it in the palm of my hand. It's not killing me.
Yeah, but he was talking faster. They're shaking. I feel like it was going through his skin.
And the toxicologist brought up excellent points. They said, if you could just put fentanyl on your skin and have it absorbed and it would have any sort of therapeutic level...
Why inject
would,
it?
Why would anyone inject
it? Or snort it. Just
or snort the fentanyl.
Cover yourself in it.
Yeah, you just, let me rub some fentanyl on my arm.
Because it's stronger.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The state of New York is considering something that I'm curious, Dieter, whether you and also Dumb, our producer, whether you guys would support this or not.
What is it?
They are considering banning tackle football for anyone under the age of 12.
I love it.
Wow. Under 12?
Under the age of 12. And that's because they just had a hearing about this yesterday, as a matter of fact. It's because of the concern about safety when it comes to football. By the way, football, much more dangerous to people than touching a granule of fentanyl, okay? They're concerned that if the longer you play football, if you start at an early age, you are more likely to have CTE, chronic traumatic. What's the last word, Dieter?
Epithecally.
Encephalopathy.
Something like that.
I don't know how. CTE. We've all heard that. Yeah. We can't pronounce it, though. And the longer you play, the more likely. For every year you play tackle football, your risk, according to a study that they cite in this article, your risk of CTE goes up 30%.
Every year?
For every year that you play football.
I started in fourth grade.
Your brain is eating away right now, Dieter.
Tell me something I don't know.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It does explain a lot with you, how incredibly stupid you can be.
But if I could do it again, go back and do it again, I would in a second.
Wow.
Even if it would cause you... See,
and there's no guarantee with the CTE, Rover. You don't know who's going to get it and who's not. There's plenty of
yes, you do. The people who get it have had traumatic brain injuries.
No, but there's some NFL players older that... have no signs of it.
Right.
So how do you explain that?
But if you look at, let's just say you take 100 former NFL players and 100 random people from the public, who's going to have CTE?
A couple of the NFL players.
A lot of the NFL players.
But who had a better life? Who made more money, got laid more drugs, booze, the championships? Yeah. Who really lived?
Yeah, but the NFL people do. But what about people like you that didn't make it to the NFL, and now your brain's just screwed up, and you're just dumb.
But I'm here working with you guys.
Lucky
that's
you.
A championship, right?
So should New York ban tackle football for anyone under the age of 12? 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. Wow. You say what, Dieter?
Hell no.
No.
Do you want to ban that? Ban cheerleading. Ban soccer.
Well, what
cheerleaders fall all the time and land on their head. It's one of the most dangerous sports, if not the dangerous. Those pyramids they do?
Dieter, but
do they do those when they're 12?
Yes. People, soccer, ban it. Women's soccer, they say, is very dangerous.
People are not...
Hockey.
Dieter.
Hockey, Rover.
Do
hockey
people injure
faster?
Themselves in cheerleading? Yes, but
they
do they
paralyzed.
Have lifelong... traumatic brain injuries
yes.
from it? No.
They get paralyzed, Rover. Girls get paralyzed from falling on their heads.
It's very rare. It's just, it's exceedingly
rare.
Okay,
but I'm saying,
it's not
start
like
with football,
CTE.
Okay, what about hockey? They go pretty damn fast on those skates and they're boom, right into each other's heads.
I don't know. Maybe we'd have to look at the studies on hockey.
Ban all
I don't know.
Ban everything but golf. How about that?
Well, look, I'm not an expert in this, Dieter. I'm just telling you what the experts are saying.
Your
kids play football right now.
Yeah.
They're how old?
Shay just turned 8. Brady's going to be 11 in February. So they are... I really was reluctant about letting them play. I really was. For the longest time, I was not going to let them play football. Then they played flag football. The youngest one played flag football, no contact. So should be okay, right?
Okay.
Well, he just got a little taste of the sport and just wanted more of it. And he wanted to move up to where, you know, all his friends are going and doing, you know, full contact football the next year. So he decided to do it. He wanted to do it. So
even knowing all the risks.
I know.
You still want your kids to play football. I mean, I think that it's pretty well established, this traumatic brain injury that occurs over years and years of playing football. And if they keep it up all throughout, if they go to college, if they make it further than you playing football, they could have big problems with their brain later on.
I do worry about it, and in particular, I mean, but they are learning so many other things about teamwork and skills and overcoming challenges, stuff that they're just playing video games and other sports they've been involved in that they just... They didn't really get before, and something about football, I don't know if it was the coaches this year or just something about...
I think it's you're more into it. You like it. Like, you love football, and you want your kids to play. Like, you... like.
Well, I went through this phase where I really kind of was out of football. I wasn't into it for a while, and then I think recently when the Browns started getting better,
when was that?
Fan. Well,
yeah, we missed
the offseason. Off season,
we had a great offseason, all the hype and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
we were great in the offseason.
We had some
great signings.
Yeah.
So I honestly think I got wrapped up in all that, and they got wrapped up in all that, and it was just kind of a perfect storm. And then my older one wanted to play. Well, he didn't really want to play. We kind of made him play, just because we wanted him to get in shape and keep him off the video games, and you know, and again, just make more friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it has. They're
so it's worth the risk
school.
To you.
I have to say, it really is. And I do worry about my youngest, though, because I don't know what it is. He's prone to hitting his head. He's hit his head more times in his life than I ever have in my entire life.
Like
he's
what?
8.
Just like falling?
He'll walk past. My favorite story about him is he'll get out of a car, and he's done this about 10 times. He clips a mirror walking past the car. He just... I don't know what it is. He's like knocked himself silly walking past the mirror on a car.
That height, I mean, you have to think about it. He's short.
It?
Yeah.
Well,
you would also think that if that happened to you once, like you hit your head on the mirror, you become cognizant. Oh, there's mirror. I'm going to be extra careful around mirrors.
He's
but
just
if
very aloof.
Time,
he's a very aloof little boy in that sense. He just,
he's the height of that mirror.
What's that?
He's that.
Well, there's some cars that are lower, so he would hit the cars, and then as he's gotten older, he's hit SUVs, too. So, very, very smart kid, believe it or not. He's in the gifted program, but he actually just does real dumb things like that a lot.
Robert,
so.
Dumb. Do you go to their practice at all, the kids' practice?
Actually, I went to almost every single practice.
Are they hitting as much as when we were growing up?
No way.
Okay, see, Rover, that's right there is helping. We would practice full go throughout the week, constantly hitting your head, right? Now they cut back on that. It's non... physical contact during the practices.
There's an entire study here that says concussions in high school football kids. So, you know, it's a little older, but it's actually up overall throughout the years. And it's up in practice.
You know
it's
why?
The sport that you I get think, most
injured. They're diagnosing it more now. Yeah. Before, you would just get... I got so many, I was just like, the coach is like, okay, go take a breather and come back in a play. You'd say it's a headache.
Right.
You'd come right back in.
Yeah, I think they're way more...
Right. That stupid concussion move with Will Smith did wonders to bring the sport down.
Nate, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Nate.
Hey, how you doing, Rover?
Hey, man, what's happening? Yep.
Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know that I love the show. I've been listening to you guys for years. But I played football from a young age, around 10, all the way up until I got a scholarship for college. I didn't play in college, but that's where you learn how to hit. You learn how to hit when you're younger. And then I was also a male cheerleader when I went to college as well. And I think I got injured more doing cheerleading, throwing girls around, than I did when I was playing football through all those years.
Look at that.
Head concussions?
Look at that.
No, foot concussions.
he just said injured.
What kind of injuries did you get as a male cheerleader? Besides your bruised ego of telling people I'm a male cheerleader. other injuries did you
get? Hey, listen.
Dieter twitched like, what?
So I don't remember who said it, but they were talking about the pyramids and whatnot. When you're underneath, I was a backer. So when that whole thing comes down, that lands straight on you. And then the girls, obviously, they're falling from 6-7 feet in the air. They can't really control what happens underneath them. It's just dangerous. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. Like,
what encouraged you? I'm just curious about this. So were you not good enough to play football in college, and you just decided, I want to stay around the sport, so I'm going to be a male cheerleader? Or what was it exactly?
Well, I got recruited to Division II college for football, and I have a heart condition that prevented me from moving forward. So I was always doing tumbling and cheer. Like, I was always at cheer gyms doing stuff with my friends, and then I ended up being a male cheerleader.
He's probably the only straight guy, too, around those women.
You don't know that he's straight, Dieter. He may not be straight. Okay. He has a deep voice, but he may not be straight.
He's safe to assume that I'm straight, yeah.
Okay, so he's getting laid by all those girls.
Well, no, I don't know. Was he? Were you scoring cheerleader tail?
Nah, like, that's the quickest way to actually be friend-zoned, so, you know.
Oh. They do that move.
One or two girls from smacking their head on the ground, you know, they appreciate you a little bit more.
They take their palm and put it right under the girl's taint, and hold them up.
Yeah,
them up.
I did that on the ice.
That's a great move.
Yeah.
Nate, thank you.
My coaches, when I used to figure skate, there was a guy that we tried out to see if we would click, if I would want, instead of doing single skating, I wanted to do pairs. And there was a move where they would swoop you up and his palms would be right at your coot, right there, just to hold you.
And he's feeling around, right?
But he was gay, but...
Oh, yeah, you have to think it's a male figure skater, Dieter.
Any other guy would be... Yeah.
He's skating around in a sequined outfit.
Yeah.
But it was scary. Yeah. I didn't like doing pair stuff, being thrown. And
do you think now, with how politically correct the world is, I mean, we've done the topic numerous times. I haven't brought up the 24 stories people have sent me in the past week about all these transgender athletes and how they just keep winning everything.
Oh, my. Track, weightlifting.
I mean, go figure. I mean, when they competed as a man, they were like in last place.
Right.
Then they go, oh, I'm a woman now, and they clean up. They're getting world records.
Right.
Tell me how that's fair.
Yeah.
And then the woman who comes in, like the actual biological woman who comes in second place, if she's upset, then everyone's like, oh, well, that's not, you know, she's not what's even the phrase that she is? She's not tolerant. She's not
woke.
Yeah, whatever. And I think they have a point. But what does ludicrous have to do with?
All I do is win.
Oh, okay.
All they're doing is winning.
All the transgenders are doing is winning. Okay.
I can tell it threw you off. You're like, what is this?
Well,
it's a popular song. Everybody knows it.
I just didn't know how it
tight end. It's the part where you said transgenders, all they do is win. It's that part. It's the chorus of the song. All right. Similar to what you said.
But my question was this. Now that, and people are, like, if you have an opinion on that, like, I personally don't think that these transgender athletes should be competing. It's not fair. It obviously isn't fair, okay? But if you have an opinion like me, people are like, oh, my God, oh, you said, I'm like, could lose my job for having an opinion like that. They'll come after you for not being politically correct. My question is, you talked about pairs figure skating. Mm-hmm. Are we at a point now where, and part of it is, you know, men are, when it comes to figure skating, they can do stronger jumps, they can do more rotations, what? Whatever, you know, like jump. That's true, right? We're just,
can they?
We're, yes.
In that?
Okay. Factually, we're talking, men can do more difficult jumps than women. So, like, if a man does a quad or whatever, I don't even know the technical terms, that a woman was unable to do that. It took a woman 10 years until after a man first did it.
I don't even know.
Until a woman can do it. You know?
I don't know. Yeah, Tanya Harding. Didn't she do it or something?
No.
Okay.
But it's just a fact. So are we at the point where we'll have to have pairs figure skating with two men?
Oh, wow.
Because why is it, you know, oh, it's not fair that I can't be out there. I'm a, you know, whatever, insert whatever you want here.
Non-binary.
Yeah. And many of these figure skaters, you always talk about, well, it's how I identify. I think many of them can identify in all sorts of buckets when it comes to their gender and sexuality and everything else. From hour to hour, day to day. So will they have to do that in order to, you know, what makes it, why is it fair that it has to be a man and a woman? I want it to be a man and a man. You're right. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
There's only one female that has been given credit for a quad jump.
Okay. Ever?
So one female can do it, and how many men? I mean, countless men have done it, right?
Yeah.
Who's the lady?
Miko Ando.
Never heard of her.
Neither have I.
So,
It's hard.
I'm just curious if that's coming. And all these people who are woke, what's going to actually end up happening is you're going to push biological women right out of sport because it's going to be all...
They just need to have sport. It's just football or soccer. And you just join and you're good enough to be on the team.
The people who are so politically correct and are all into this are also into feminism and, I stand up for women, blah, blah, blah. You're going to run women right out of sport because they're going to be replaced by all these transgenders.
That's how it goes.
And women just can't compete versus men, period.
That's how it goes.
Okay.
I'm scrolling through a list of years of all the different skaters that have done quadruple jumps.
Okay.
Manning them in competitions.
And it's a lot?
I mean, yeah.
And only one woman has ever done that. You're talking dozens and dozens of men.
Let me go to the females. I'm still scrolling. Women, yeah. Attempts. First woman to land a quadruple salchow. This Miko Ando. There's a few people. They're saying in competition or not in competition. So there are.
Okay. I don't know. This is taking
a few people that have done.
Yeah. But it's a fact. Men can do it better than women.
Yeah, many more men.
Are we going to have two men out there skating together, holding each other up by the crotch? You know. Grabbing their dong like a handle and spinning them around. Imagine the moves you could do like that.
Yeah.
I got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's an iHeart Radio station.
Set your alarm to Rover's Morning Glory. Just say, Alexa, wake me up to 100.7 WMMS on iHeart Radio weekdays at 7 a.m.
Hey, are you listening?
Did we get your attention? Good. We didn't want you to miss any of the show. Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
right, we'll get to the shizzy in just a few minutes. What do you have on the way, Doogie?
I trust this from Forbes. They have put out a list of the best horror movies of the 2000s. The only main guideline was that they had to be live-action movies that got true theatrical releases. One of the scariest, best horror movies.
Best horror movie. Well, theatrical
like
release.
I've seen some.
The movie we had of Dumb meeting Anna Mills at the Bunny Ranch.
Yeah.
That can't be the best horror movie.
Correct.
Oh, you horror movie. Oh, I thought you meant horror movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. All right.
Why didn't you like that, Dieter?
Because some movies aren't released. Like, I saw this one movie, The Terrifier, on Netflix. I don't know if that was a
the
main...
The Terrifier?
That was good. That was scary.
That sounds terrible.
Oh, no. It was good.
Does your wife like scary movies like that?
Uh-huh.
She doesn't get afraid?
No, she freaks out, but I'm like, you got to watch it.
Speaking of movies, did you go see The Terminator?
I did.
How'd you go pick up Jeffrey?
We got to find out.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. Joanna in Philadelphia, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Joanna.
Hey, Rover, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. What's happening?
So I've played rugby for over 18 years. It all comes down to tackling. Rugby tackling, you're using your shoulder. You're not crossing head first in someone.
Yeah.
The longevity of playing rugby is so much longer than football.
But they don't have as much equipment on, right?
No, no. You could wear like a shoulder pads that are like really thin if you want. It's not. You could wear a scrum cap. That doesn't prevent concussions. It's just a little bit of protection.
Part of the reason people get injured in football, they think, is actually because of all of the safety equipment. It makes people feel invincible, and it actually can lead to more injury. Now, you played rugby. Have you been paying attention to whatever this, I don't know, it's been on TV. Maybe it's over. Maybe someone won. It's like the rugby world whatever is going on now.
Yeah,
the World Cup or something.
The final's actually this weekend, and it's South Africa and England. So
you've been watching that? You've been paying attention to that stuff?
A little bit. It's not televised as much in America, you know, so it's hard to watch.
I just saw it. It was on NBC I don't know if it was NBC.
Yeah,
it was on some
network. It's really delayed, though, so I already know who won half the game.
I tried watching a little bit of it. I couldn't understand what the hell was going on. I don't get the rules. I mean, it took me a while when I started watching soccer to really understand all of the rules. If you never played soccer, and I mean, soccer's not a big sport in America, and it took me a while to figure out all of the rules. But then you watch this rugby. I don't know what the hell's going on with this. Dieter, have you ever watched any of this? You got about 20 guys that are all like in a big pile, and then one guy at the end gets the ball, and then... I don't know what the hell they're doing.
I think they have to pass it, but they have to pass it backwards. Is that correct? To each other?
You pass it laterally or backwards, and so people are supposed to be running onto the ball and run forward with it.
And then can you ever kick it?
Yes, you can kick it. But the people behind the kicker, they have to be behind the kicker or they're offside. So the kicker has to run forward and put everyone onside.
And what do you kick it? You kick it through like some sort of uprights or something or what?
Well, you can kick it just in open play. So basically someone took soccer, got bored with it, turned it into rugby, and then we turned it into American football. So you can kick it for points in the middle of a game. That's someone who's really skilled. But when you kick for points after you score a try, which is what a touchdown in American football, you kick it from where the person scored instead of straight out from the middle. So it takes a little bit more
time. I can't even see. Even her explanation has me confused. What's the difference between rugby and Australian rules football?
Australian rules football is a lot of kicking. It's a lot more kicking.
And Gaelic football. What's Gaelic football?
Oh, you'd be perfect
That's
for
you
that.
And...
Mattitude.
Okay, anybody else?
Well, Robert, next time you go to England to watch soccer, go watch a rugby game. It's going to be the best rugby game.
But how many people are at these rugby games? Like, I get it, it's the world championship stuff now, but at a regular rugby game, it seems like, I don't know, are there a lot of people there?
I mean, not here, but if you go internationally, England, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, you're going to have a huge stadium completely filled with people.
All right. Maybe I'll check that out. Joanna, thank you. I appreciate it. Let me go to Christina. Then we've got to get into the shizzy. Go ahead, Christina.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the concussion issue. I have three boys that have played CYO football. Currently have one that is in fifth grade, and at his very last game, he ended up getting a concussion. And then, you know, we went through the doctor and all that. So now he's kind of afraid to play, but, you know, next year we plan on having him play football again. So it's just something that we do for our children because they need the exercise because they're a little bit on the bigger side, and it keeps them away from playing Fortnite every day. but, you know, I the only thing I don't like about it is they've changed a lot of the rules where now the third graders have to play flag. And when you get into the fourth and fifth grade level, it's only 7-on-7. And
so you don't like that. You're like, you don't like it. You want it to be more dangerous for your kid.
I mean, I don't want it to be more dangerous, but I would like to see more children on the field than just seven.
Then they, but I mean, the reason they put these rules, they make the third graders play flag, and then they do 7-on-7. Isn't that to make it safer, or is there some other reason?
Yeah, no, they came out with a flyer a couple of years ago stating because of the fact that children are getting hurt more and more, that they wanted.
So you say go, back to the way that it was.
Yes, I like.
In fact, give them chainsaws. Why not? Let's that make it more exciting. All right, Christina, thank you. Doogie?
Yeah.
Are you ready for the shizzy?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hit the shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
Remember the El Paso Walmart that had the
shooting?
Attack that happened August 3rd? That store has obviously been closed, and it will open November 14th.
Oh, you say it's obviously been closed? I didn't know it.
I didn't know
it was this
whole
time.
Yes. They are going to open it and have a memorial for the mass shooting victims. So they did release a few of the pictures as far as what they're going to do for those.
It's like a big tower, like candle-looking thing or something. All
they say that the Walmart will open 9 a.m. November 14th, shortly after store associates have a
I bet Walmart meeting. Doesn't want to do that. They're like, got to do something. But if we put this big monument out in front of the store, every time you come, you're like, hey, remember those people that got shot here? And it's like, it kind of freaks you out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I bet they'd rather just do nothing. But they kind of have to do something.
You got to do something.
All right, go on.
There is a story out of Utah. A man was arrested after he allegedly killed his mom and live-streamed several incriminating segments. Jeffrey Langford is his name. He's 24 years old. He was taken into custody after investigators determined that he gave him conflicting statements about the deaths of his mom, 45-year-old Gracelia Holker. So police were responding to a report that a woman had killed herself, but they were also told that Langford posted a live video showing the woman deceased as he said aloud that he wasn't going to jail.
Oh.
So he was charged with first-degree murder after his mom was found dead when the police got there. They said the apartment was covered in blood when they got there, and Jeffrey had a reddish-brown substance on his face and clothing consistent in appearance to blood.
All right.
Imagine seeing that. Here's a bizarre story about a 50-year-old man, a British man, who was trapped atop of a smokestack, and he was trapped for over 12 hours.
I saw this in the news yesterday.
How high up was he, Rover?
290 feet, I remember correctly. I read stuff, Doogie.
I know exactly how high it is.
And it sticks in my brain.
Sticks in my craw.
Yeah, and I can repeat the story.
Thanks. So,
but I didn't read at the time. So this guy is like a big smokestack, like a chimney outside of this old factory, 290 feet tall. Huge. This guy was up on the top of it, naked, hanging upside down by one leg.
Yeah. You got a picture, Snitz?
You could find it, but he's hanging like, here's a helicopter hovering over him.
The helicopter caused problems.
He's hanging upside down.
What the hell is he doing?
Somehow caught by his foot. And he's just like head down, foot up.
What's he doing? Like inverted sit-ups?
I don't know. But so when I saw this story and the guy, he's dead.
Yes.
Wait, what happened?
Well, the helicopter couldn't get him, that because it was a really scary situation. The helicopter couldn't get him. That wasn't working.
Okay. Yeah.
So then I guess they have a team of people that are trained for these cherry pickers, for like firemen.
Yeah.
They're trained to go excessively high.
Oh, yeah. They brought in a cherry picker from another town.
But not everybody can just go up.
But who has a 290-foot cherry picker? Think about that.
Right.
Yep. So the efforts then were called off from the helicopter. Then they did the cherry picker. They were able to get him, but he had died. So he ended up dying.
What was he doing up there? How did he get up there? And why was he hanging upside down by his foot?
There was a ladder on the side of the smokestack. So they believe that he went all the way up.
Just climbed all the way up.
It's got to be on drugs, right? Because you get naked, you get hot.
I don't know.
On PCP. And they probably died.
They're investigating. World Series Game 7 tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox. It's going to be a big night tonight to see who wins. This story is for you, Rover. I know you love your Fendi. Catherine Zeta-Jones and her daughter, Karis Douglas, they are going to be representing Fendi in their new hashtag Me and My Peekaboo campaign.
Oh,
this was just released.
Be I think and I are.
You'd get a real kick out of that if you'd like to order something from Fendi.
Yeah, thanks.
Tomorrow is, you're welcome, Halloween. So Forbes, if they put out...
Oh, hold on. This just in, Doogie, there's someone endorsing potato sacks now. If you'd like to buy a potato sack, I know how much you like to wear those every day.
I love potato sacks, much cheaper. Here is a list from Forbes. They put out a list of the 50 best horror movies of the 2000s. Now, I had told you, and you didn't like this, the only guideline
of
was
the
2000s.
Yeah, 2000s.
Nope. Okay. But I told you that they had to be live-action movies that got releases. So they were in the theater.
When you say 2000, is that 2000 to 2010? Or we're still in the 2000s, right?
Or is it up till now?
2019.
2000s.
So it's from 2000 up until 2019.
To right now.
Oh, okay.
Yes. What part of that do you not understand?
No, I get it.
Okay.
Well, just making sure. So just, I don't know if it's just a decade or if it's all the way
which
till
would,
now.
Which 2000. Would, well, I believe would be the aughts. Is,
yeah,
that,
the
is
aughts.
That what it is?
And you nailed it.
I only know that because I had to look that up because you know who uses that all the time?
Sasky.
Ronan Farrow. That guy. That guy who's so annoying. Smug. Oh, I was reading articles and it was always in the early aughts. I go, who talks like that? What is that? I had to look that up. The aughts? A-U-G-H-T-S. Aughts?
Do you want to know what the movies are? Top three I'll give you. Top five?
Saw.
At least top five.
Okay, fifth place, The Babadook.
Babadook!
I still never saw that.
Dieter
what are you
loved
waiting
that,
for?
And I've heard it's terrible.
No, yeah, it looks awful.
So
no, it looks bad. It's great.
Right. There's always a lot of Babadook Halloween costumes when I'm walking around.
There's a reason for it. It's like this half-man, half-crow, and he haunts this family. Watch it. It's on Netflix. One of the highest-rated movies on Netflix.
Fourth place, The Wailing.
I don't know that.
I don't know what that is. Is it like a British movie or something?
The Wailing. I don't remember that one. I'm looking it up. I don't remember. All right, go on.
I think that might be Korean or Japanese.
Okay. This is from Forbes, so it's a list of everything. Third place, Sinister.
Don't know that one either.
That one's crazy, yeah. It's about, that's the video camera one, I believe, where they find a video camera in the house and it like possesses the children, and the children use the video camera and they kill their families in these really messed up ways, and then they move away from the house, and when the next family moves in, that child finds the camera, and then they take it to the next house, and then the family dies there, and then that family moves in.
All right.
Second place, The Witch.
All right.
What the hell is this? I don't know these movies.
That was good.
You did see that one?
Yeah, it was all right.
It Follows, is that number one?
What?
That was good.
It Follows?
No.
What about Get Out?
Hereditary is the number one.
Oh, that was stupid. And all those came out after 2010. So is this list 2010 until now?
It says 2000s. Get Out is in sixth place, Dieter.
Saw? Yeah. I mean, Saw was huge. Remember that?
Yeah.
When
it
did that
was
come
in
out?
19...
2004?
That witch movie was horrible.
Are you reading Netflix? Or you saw
it? No. I'm just looking up the pictures from it. It was so bad. It wasn't scary. And there was like one final scene. I think it just like ended. Did you see that, Snitz?
Yeah.
You liked it?
It was all right.
Where does Saw come in on that?
Saw does not come in the top.
Not in the top. Five.
Saw, the one that has
how about this?
12 sequels and everybody loved and everybody was talking about
it
when it came out.
Yeah, how about, okay.
Is 16th.
How about It, the original It?
It is 19th. The Ring is 23rd.
All right, other movies. Screw that list.
This list sucks.
Oh, okay. What time is it? Well, you want me to stop? I can go. Done?
Yeah, you're done. All right. Done? Yeah. Here we go.
Got something to say? Call the show. 1-866-YO-ROVER. That's 1-866-967-6837.
Marsha, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Marsha.
Yo, what's up?
Yo, what's happening?
I was just calling. I was on my way to work, and I heard this call regarding the football controversy, and you know, when I listen to this woman talk about, you know, I want to keep this child off of video games at the cost of a concussion, it just blew my mind. I mean, Rover, I rarely agree with you, but on this case, I remember you saying, you know, can't we get control of our kids? Can't we say no? This is ridiculous. There is no way that you need to go to such extremes to take a child away from video games. I
like the kid. He doesn't want to play. He got a concussion, and he's like, I don't want to play football anymore. And the mom's like, you're playing,
yeah,
damn it.
Damn right.
Get out there, you pussy.
Yeah, what's up with that? I mean, we all have the science now. And I had a neighbor. I lived in North Carolina for about 5 years, and I had a neighbor whose son was very good at football, built very well, great runner. But he got a concussion when he was 11. And she totally lied to him and said, you know, the doctor said you can't play anymore.
Oh, wow.
You know, it was just her way of another.
Yeah, she was probably scared of,
sure,
of, you know, when I didn't play football when I was a kid. And I'll tell you why. It's because I was raised by a single mother and her mother, my grandmother. And there wasn't really a male figure in my life. And they just were like, no, it's dangerous. You're going to get hurt. So I never played football. Right. They weren't interested. In, you know, my mom worked. She was a nurse and she worked in an ER. And she would always, kids get paralyzed playing football, you know. And it freaked me out. So I was like, yeah, I don't even want to play football. But I don't have a, look, if people want their kids to play football, I guess I don't have a problem with that, I guess. You know, there are other risky activities. Kids are riding around on skateboards and stuff, and that's
soccer,
a risky activity.
Kid, every day she plays soccer, she's injured.
But I think you should really think about it. You should weigh whether you want to have that risk for your child to have something wrong with their brain.
Brain.
And, yeah.
Exactly. Brain. And you're not just speculating. Your mother had, you know, firsthand experience, so she wasn't just giving you myths. And I do think, you know, the more we become informed, like, you know, when I grew up, I was born in 1960, so my brothers, who were way older than I, you know, they played those kinds of sports, and, you know, I had skateboards and bikes and rode without helmets, and I'm not going to lie, at first I thought, oh, you're riding a bike with a helmet, that's a little wussy, but it's really not. I mean, I'm not saying that we should wrap our kids in bubble wrap, but I think that the more we become informed, it's important for us to protect them.
Yeah, I wear, you know, I have one of those scooters. They're like the, I don't know, what, like the bird scooters. We have them on the bus, and I ride around on those when we're on Rolling Glory One. We're going to different cities. It's a lot of fun. But I wear a helmet when I'm riding around on that thing, because those things go fast. They go 20 miles per hour. You fall, you hit something going 20 miles per hour, you fall off that thing at 20 miles per hour, you're going to be in a world of hurt if you hit your head. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I don't care if people think I look like a pussy. Screw you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to speak. Like, Charlie is crazy for riding around on his stupid electric skateboard.
You can't call my thing stupid if you have a scooter, because my thing's a thousand times cooler than yours. Yours is
and
stupid.
You're an idiot for riding around on it without a helmet.
It's dope as hell.
It's just,
cool.
It's just
people honk, wave at me.
And I...
No, they're telling you to get the hell out of the road.
I would say...
No, they're not.
Just thumbs up.
I wouldn't even have any sympathy for Charlie if he got in a wreck and had some sort of... terrible
brain damage.
Yeah, if I had brain damage, I wouldn't. Yeah.
I wouldn't have any sympathy for
you. If you drive out in front of a bus and you get ran over, I'm going to have a party. So does that sound cool?
If he's a vegetable rover in a hospital bed, you wouldn't visit. You would just laugh.
Would too.
I have to be honest. I would not have much sympathy.
You're out of visiting me.
Why would you have sympathy for someone who you've told a thousand times? And he knows.
He's not an idiot. He knows
he should be wearing a helmet when he's riding around on this stupid electric skateboard that goes how fast?
23
miles per hour.
No helmet?
No, I told you guys I bought a helmet.
Do you wear it?
I've not ridden the skateboard in a long time, so I actually have not been out on the skateboard maybe once around my block. No helmet, but I was going like 10. I wasn't zooming.
So
next time I'm zooming.
But
I'm
why would
the
you have sympathy
on.
For someone that does well, something?
When you and your wife get hit by a bus in matching outfits, I'm going to have a party.
But
does that sound normal?
Smoke. Why would you people drink if somebody dies?
No sympathy.
There's a difference between an accident and something that is entirely preventable.
Smoking.
And yours is preventable.
Yours would be preventable if you just didn't ride yours and. You would be fine.
That's like saying someone who gets in a car accident, I don't have any sympathy for them because they got in a car accident.
That is
they
how crazy
have, they shouldn't have been driving
said.
A car.
That's how nuts.
No, that's different. It's totally different. If you're not wearing a seatbelt and you've told the person a million times, wear a seatbelt, you go, I don't have a lot of sympathy for that person because they're a dumbass.
It's safer just not even get in a car. I mean, so I have no sympathy for anybody with it gets in a car accident, right? That makes sense.
No.
What you're saying is just dumb.
What you're doing is dumb.
Like cruel and weird.
Richard, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Richard.
CLY Rover.
Arbe, what's happening?
Hey, so I know Dumb is having a hard time because everybody knows that Dumb cheated on his wife with a prostitute in Nevada.
Oh, yes, he did.
So I got a hold of a celebrity, a very well-known celebrity.
Uh-huh.
I paid a little bit of money, and they sent out a celebrity shout-out to Dumb. But they actually called me and needed some backstory.
You have the video, Rover.
I have the video.
So I explained to them.
Yeah.
If you just want to play the video.
His wife was a prostitute in Nevada.
That makes sense.
I explained to them that Dumb spent $1,800 a month on weed and Uber Eats, and that he weaseled his way into a European vacation and made B1 cry every day. So... the celebrity ran with it. Enjoy it. I give all rights to you, Rover, to do what you may with it.
All right.
Make your day and freak him out.
Richard, I do have this video apparently in my system, and I will play it right when we come back from break.
Don't let him look at
it. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Radio Station.
Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Now back to Rover's Morning Glory.
In West Palm Beach, here on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Ryan.
Morning.
Hey, what's happening?
I wanted to chime in on that whole helmet thing.
Yes.
Give you guys some perspective.
Yes.
You said 20 mile an hour on a scooter, wear a helmet. Good idea. I was 25 miles an hour on a motorcycle. I shattered the whole right side of my face, broke my neck in three places, broke my back. Yeah. Wearing a helmet, too. So
that's awful.
You should definitely wear a helmet.
Yeah. Someone sent me a text message, and they said, why aren't you getting on Dieter for he rides a motorcycle without a helmet? Why don't you get on him like you get on Charlie?
Well, not on a freeway.
You're stupid, Dieter.
No, on a freeway, I definitely wear it.
You wouldn't feel bad for Dieter?
It doesn't matter whether you're... Were you on a freeway, Ryan?
I was on a normal street doing 25 miles an hour.
Were you drinking?
It doesn't matter how fast you're going. Nope. Sober as a bird.
Well, what happened? Somebody hit you? You got to look out for the other drivers.
Oh, no. Somebody cut across a couple of lanes of traffic and slammed on the brakes trying to make a turn. Didn't see me.
Yep.
And I had to swerve, and I went into basically the only option I had was to swerve to the left so I wouldn't hit another car. And my front tire locked up on a curb, and I went over the handlebars.
Wow. Yeah, Dieter, you should wear a helmet.
I mean, 25. No, whoever,
yeah, you should, if it's just a quick trip around the neighborhood, no helmet. You're right. But anything.
But this guy was on a quick trip around the neighborhood.
He can't ride. He sounds like a rookie rider.
I'm just saying. You should do it.
I've been riding since I was 8. That's like 27.
8?
Yeah.
8, you had a Harley. Wow. That's a pretty nice family.
You know, he probably had one of those little mini bike things. Yeah. So, it's good advice. You're a smart guy. The other people on my show are just stupid, Ryan. Just you and I are the smart ones.
Well, should you even feel bad for him? He was. Motorcycle riding is a dangerous activity, right?
It is a dangerous activity.
So do you feel bad if somebody gets in a motorcycle accident?
Yes, but not unless they if they don't take all of the precautions that they should, then I'm like, well,
that sucks. But you don't even think that. You're just like, you're not even like, go, it's not even like too sucks. Bad. You're kind of like, he deserves it.
Lester, also in West Palm Beach, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Lester.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up, my man?
Hey, you know, in Florida, we're the number one state for deaths for people not riding with helmets on motorcycles and things like that. Number one, and it's because it's legal to ride a motorcycle without a helmet here,
yeah.
So people don't do it. And just like that last caller said, it doesn't take much to get your head cracked. So good job on wearing a helmet. Charlie's a dumbass if he doesn't wear a helmet. So is Dieter for not wearing helmets. But the biggest question is, did Jeffrey, when he got in his wreck the other day, did they have seatbelts on?
Ooh, good question.
That is a good question. Jeffrey, you were in a car accident.
Seatbelts.
Yeah.
Seatbelts save lives, man. And I know he didn't get out of the car for some reason. Was it because they were scrambling, trying to get their seatbelts on? They didn't want to get seen being unsafe. I mean, there's a lot of things that could have been going on in that car that were completely unsafe. Maybe kids not buckled in. There's a law that you got to be buckled in if you're under the age of 16, maybe in the back seat, those types of things. What's going on with all that?
Yeah.
Jeffrey, what?
First of all, Lester, let's one question at a time. Yes, all of us were wearing seatbelts.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Of us wearing seatbelts.
I do want to talk about your accident in just a short while. But first of all, a couple of things.
Why is Dumb sitting in here?
Dumb sitting in here because we have a celebrity message to Dumb that a guy called in, Richard called in, said he had a celebrity record a message to Dumb.
He paid for it.
So I'll play that here in just a moment. But speaking of Dumb, you've probably heard that Dumb cheated on his wife with a prostitute in Nevada, and now you can own the T-shirt. It's available at roverradio.com if you're an RMG Plus subscriber. If you're not an RMG Plus subscriber, you'll have to wait until Friday. It goes on sale to everyone on Friday, and it's Friday and Friday only. One day, that's it. In, out, Dumb, boom. If you're an RMG Plus subscriber, you can order as of right now. And I just saw a text message. Let me see if I can go to the... okay, here it is. This is from 920. Sent me a text message. I love the Dumb T-shirts, but why is the size small as much as the 4XL? The medium to 3XL are cheaper. So I looked, and there was indeed the small was mispriced. So... it's set to the price that it should be. And I'm going to tell this to anyone. If you bought a small, give us a day or two. We will go back to anyone who ordered a small and refund the difference to you because we had a mistake in there.
Man, yesterday on the way home,
yeah.
Dom and I had to take Dumb home as his punishment.
Uh-huh.
I missed his exit on accident, and we got to go see the billboard. That thing is huge. Man, it is just right there.
I haven't seen it.
You have to go see it in person to really to take it in.
Now, which one did you see?
Both. Because they're actually pretty close to each other. So if anybody's interested, 71 South right after 480.
Yeah.
And then 480 East right after 71. So those, and if you're going 480 East, you want to look on the right. If you're 71 South, you want to look on the left. Okay.
Which one's better?
480. The 480 East one is spectacular. It is just. Dumb had no idea that, like, I missed this exit. He's like, you missed the exit. And I was like, oh, did I? Well, I'll just take 71 South and we'll turn around. And I see it over there. And he's like, oh. And then I got off that exit and I came back up 71 North. And then right on 480 East, right there, it's just there again. And it's just so huge. And I went to, I don't want to say where I was because I think these people might be getting annoyed.
Yeah.
I went and I wanted to take some, you know, some time-lapse photography of it. And I went out and I parked at a certain place. And I went in, I had to go in this parking lot, and there's a bunch of workers there. Like, and then I said, is it cool if I step back here and take a picture of the billboard? And the guy looked at me like, this has been happening all day. The way he's like, sure, you can go ahead too. So I went out, I took some video there. But
here's
it just seems,
the video, time-lapse video, a little short video here.
Yeah, just, but it is just so huge. And just great. I just love it.
Just dumb cheated on his wife with a prostitute.
But I could tell that this business is getting kind of annoyed because a lot of people are parking there and going out to take the picture.
So this guy called in and he said that he had a message recorded for Dumb. And here it is. It's from, does he say in the...
Oh, I'll just tell you.
I'll just tell you.
It's Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold.
Oh.
Tom Arnold has recorded a message for Dumb.
Yo, Robert, Tom Arnold here. I just wanted you to know that I was told Dumb cheated on his wife with a prostitute in Nevada at the Bunny Ranch. You know, you hear things. You know things. It's got to be a fact. Got to be a fact. That poor son of a bitch, Dumb. I'll tell you what, man. This, the odyssey of Dumb, the ongoing odyssey of Dumb is, the nation's intrigued, I'll be honest. F*** the impeachment stuff. People are like, what is next? What's going to happen next? That's how it's been. It's sort of a parallel, you know, investigation. You know, Trump and Dumb. Who's gonna make it to the finish line? Anyway, the crew of Rover's Morning Glory, enjoy yourselves. You know, thank God for Dumb. Seriously, America, thank God for Dumb.
Yeah, there you go. Thank God for Dumb. That's right,
American hero.
Laughing his ass off. He couldn't even get through it.
Dumb was really, I've heard reports that he was really bent out of shape, or he was on his phone. He was drunk yesterday, but was something going on yesterday, Dumb, that was wrong? Something family thing, or I don't know what, something. What was it?
Well, my one kid missed school yesterday because he was sick, so that's what I was getting phone calls
unexcused
about.
Unexcused absence.
Yeah, the unexcused absence.
What was it? What happened to him?
He ate too much pizza with ranch the night before, and it gave him acid reflux.
Oh.
So you know that story, Rover.
And as a kid, he already has that?
Yeah, when he goes to town, man. He must have had too many pieces, too much ranch.
Yeah,
he overeats. Yeah. He really does. And I think he just stuffed himself to where he got sick and paid the price. And his mom let him stay over from school.
I used to pull that crap all the time when I was a kid. Oh, my stomach. Oh, my neck. Oh, sore throat. Oh, I hated going to school.
He goes out of his way to get out of school. The other one loves it, and he does everything he can to get out of school.
If he stays home from school, who watches him?
My ex-father-in-law, ex-wife's dad.
All right. So there is someone. So it's convenient. So she doesn't have to stay home from work, your ex-wife.
No. So she definitely drove to and from work yesterday and saw the sign, both signs, both ways.
What'd she say?
She's not happy, that's for sure. She said she just wished that the past would just go away and she could just go on with her life. And she's worried how this is going to affect the boys.
She's married. She's remarried. She is moving on with her life, right?
Right, but when this kind of big stuff gets rehashed that she doesn't have to think about unless it, you know, is plastered on literally on a billboard.
Every day she passes
to remember it.
It.
Yeah.
Dave, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, good morning. So hey, I just passed a giant black billboard with white letters saying, "Dumb cheated on his wife with a prostitute on 480. And I can't stop laughing about it.
Yeah.
Why did you know to call the show? I don't get it.
Well, because everyone knows, Dumb, you cheated on your wife with a prostitute. Dave, thank you.
So I ruined her birthday yesterday. It was
whose
her
birthday?
Oh, it was my ex-wife's birthday yesterday.
Oh, so, well, happy birthday to her.
Yeah, that was a great way to ruin everything.
So
for
she
her
gets a billboard put up. She sees that. She, wow.
So there's a great gift for her. Another birthday ruined by me.
Kim, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. Yo, Rover.
Yo, what's happening?
Hey, so I just drove by both billboards. It is the funniest thing ever, watching everyone in the car. They are loving it.
Oh, everyone's laughing at Dumb's expense, huh? All the other cars, yes, you look around, they're all laughing at that billboard.
I miss them. They
now
are huge.
If you see someone crying, that's Dumb's ex-wife driving to work this morning, crying as she passes it. Not so much of the billboard. She's really just crying.
Poor lady.
She's crying. She like
so
just
for her
that she married Dumb. You know, that's what she's really crying about.
She should be.
Kim,
that's
thank
true, you.
You
know.
Well, that's well,
some much different Dumb right now.
Oh yeah, sober Dumb.
This is hungover Dumb.
Oh, is that what it is?
I'm fine. I feel fine. I'm just have had a lot of time to think about everything that's been going on. I'm just trying to not yell. I get yelled at if I yell, so I'm just trying to be chill.
What happened on the aftermath yesterday? I hear from RMG Plus subscribers that you were
What I would like to know what you thought happened, Dumb.
I actually don't remember much of what happened on the aftermath.
Are you kidding?
I believe there was. I know I was removed from the aftermath. I know that. I don't know. I just remember coming
drunk,
in, and sitting down, and having trying to do the show and getting yelled at by Charlie. I tried to sit down and eat, have a little snack while
Charlie,
we were there.
You're shaking your head no back there.
It's maybe that's one way to remember it. The real way is I tried to ignore Dumb as much as I could because he was so out of control drunk, just so drunk and eating. I was just trying to continue on with the show and pretend this wasn't happening. And every time I'd try to start talking about anything, he would just make very loud eating noise. I mean, just the loudest eating noises. And
the
just
microphone's right here. There's nothing I could do about it. It's
just
right
don't eat
here.
He's doing it.
Well,
is he doing it on purpose? Or he does eat even very loudly.
I don't know if it was on purpose or not. It was just so loud and distracting. I mean, you couldn't have a and he just constant derails to the point where you could not have a yeah, it's like this. But imagine eating
his coffee.
And he stole all of Doogie's lunch. He came in. He had pretzels off the bat. All right. The pretzels I was just trying to ignore. Then he brought out a Jell-O cup, which I don't know where. I guess that was yours, Doogie.
Nine.
And then he brought out an Ensure Max Protein, like for ancient old people. I don't know who's
elderly people.
Yeah,
it's not mine. It's Doogie.
I don't know. Nobody's
senior citizen.
Nobody's claiming credit for this Ensure. Then he threw the Ensure at me, Rover. You can see right next to you your wood carved thing over there.
Yes.
You see how it's broken? It's
carved logo.
Yeah,
of the show.
It was carved logo of the show.
Me. Yeah.
He threw that at me, missed, and broke that logo. It fell off. Some guy hand carved something for us. Then he got a banana out.
That was my banana in my bag.
And then at that point, it was just enough. I don't mind, like, just if he was just drinking. Oh, also, let's not forget, he had one of those beer helmets on. He found it in the back office. It's the, you know, the construction helmet with the two beer cans you can put on there with the tube. And I actually didn't mind that. Like, if he was just drinking and just, being lively, that would have been totally fine.
Yeah.
It was the eating.
But he's being obnoxious.
And the derailing that finally Doogie had to remove him.
So would you like to apologize, Dumb? Or
yeah, I thought we were just there having some fun. I guess I apparently got out of hand, so I apologize to Charlie.
I'm all about having drunk fun. Like, that's a good time to me, just a guy being drunk. It was just
you might want to apologize.
A different level.
You were kind of mean to Charlie, calling.
Oh, then he got really mad after the show.
It was bad.
This is weird. So he makes a huge mess all over the studio, and I didn't clean it up. And he got very mad that I didn't clean up his mess. And I said, Dumb, you have to clean up the studio for tomorrow because there's pretzels, banana peels, mm-hmm. Jello cups, mm-hmm. insure thing. It's just a mess. And I wouldn't clean up. And he was very mad at me that I didn't clean it up. I mean, he was like,
who do you think you are, the talent?
Who do you think you are that you won't clean up?
Oh, he couldn't be bothered. He can't be bothered with cleaning anymore. He's above that.
You know that he is above you, right? Like, when you do
I got
the
it.
Aftermath.
Jeffrey's above me. I got it. I'm the lowest person on the totem pole here. I understand.
But if you make a big mess, I mean, don't you just clean up your own mess?
I don't know if I agree with the totem pole rankings here. Dumb is producer of the show, so
but when
he's
on the aftermath,
he carries some weight.
I'm not saying he carries a lot of weight.
On the aftermath, he has to let Charlie.
Ken, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Ken.
How's it going?
Hey, what's up, Ken?
Hey, just want to let you know I'm out of town, and I just saw the bulletin board. It says Dumb cheated on his wife with a prostitute on 71 by 480.
Yes, it's apparently hard to miss.
Huh. I have not seen it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it.
I got to look.
Okay.
Not familiar.
Yeah, he left out a crucial part that it's right by the airport, so everyone that comes into town immediately sees it when they get on the highway.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, yeah, it's
so
real close.
Coming into town is going to see that and go, whoa.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, everybody
right
heading
by the airport.
Yep. If you're heading downtown, you're going to see it.
I've got to take a break. We have Sean Spicer coming on, former White House Communications Director, currently, what?
Press Secretary.
Press Secretary. I think he was Communications Director. On Dancing with the Stars, he's going to be on with us in just a few minutes. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory, an iHeart Radio station. WMMS.
Everyone has a crew. Ours is the coolest. Wait. Who the f*** wrote this? Doogie? Does Doogie think she's cool? I ain't saying that bitch is cool, man. No. Find someone else to say that shit. I'm over it.
Did he leave? Well, welcome back to Rover's Morning Glory.
All right, Sean Spicer is going to be on with us in just a moment. I've got to find out about Jeffrey and his car accident. We haven't talked to him about this in person. Jeffrey was involved in a car accident Sunday night. Didn't come into work Monday.
Totaled his car. Gone.
And I don't mean to laugh. It's like Jeffrey, if something could go wrong with Jeffrey, it does go wrong with Jeffrey. So he totaled his car on Sunday. We'll talk to him about that in just a moment. But first, Sean Spicer, you of course know him as the former White House press secretary to Donald Trump. That's really where he made his mark. He was involved in politics for many, many years before that. But for better or for worse, he's going to be known as Donald Trump's press secretary. And now he's on Dancing with the Stars. Sean, good morning. How are you, my man?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, you are in, you've been doing Dancing with the Stars for, a while now. I don't know how many weeks you're into now, but it's quite a while. What's your thoughts this far in?
I mean, honestly, we're going into week 8. Vegas had me at 50-1 losing this thing. So the idea that I'm here at week 8 is pretty mind-boggling to even me. I thought this would be a few weeks, it'd be fun, I'd learn something, but clearly there's a lot of support out there, because while my scores have gotten better, I'm definitely on the low end of the scores that the judges give, but it's the support from people around the country that are keeping us in this competition.
Is it just essentially Trumpers, people who are support Donald Trump and the conservative movement, is that really what's keeping you afloat in Dancing with the Stars?
I think there's no question that's a part of it. And I was really, you know, honored to have the president tweet out his support for me and make it known. Obviously, Don Jr. and a lot of other folks in that sort of political orbit have been super helpful. But I got to be honest with you, I bumped into a woman at church last Saturday night, and she came up to her and she said, "Hey, I'm a big Democrat. I just want to know I don't agree with anything politically, but I love watching you on the show. I know you're working hard. I know you're having fun, and I really support you." And then I was in the airport yesterday, and someone said a very similar thing. And I think there's that part, which is people know that we're there. I'm not a naturally gifted dancer, but I'm trying. I'm trying to make progress. I'm working hard, and I'm having a blast doing it. Some people love that. And then the third category, I think, is there's a lot of folks who I think like watching the show and say, "I don't think I could ever do that." And that's kind of what I was a while back, which is, "I don't know how to dance. I don't think I could do this, but I'll give it a try. I'll work hard." And I think they go, "Oh, you know what? I like this. There's a guy that I can identify with. I've always been the guy that, you know, at weddings sits back by the bar and sways back and forth, mm-hmm. never going to get on the dance floor." So I think to some degree there's of identifying with that that people have. So I can't obviously break down the vote, but I think that from anecdotally, that's where I think, you know, it's coming from.
Yeah, there's always Dancing with the Stars. I always thought it was unfair that you get people like Sean Spicer who two left feet can't dance at all, like me. And then they'll have, some years they'll have like a guy who was in Backstreet Boys or something.
Yeah, boy band.
You go, how's that fair? Like, that guy's an actual professional dancer. Right. That doesn't make any sense. I swear to God, I was, while Sean was talking, we have up on RMG TV, you know, they're showing photos of him from Dancing with the Stars. I almost burst out laughing at some of these outfits that you're wearing, Sean.
With that lime green. That went viral. I saw that the first week he wore that.
These outfits are something else.
We auctioned that shirt off for two veterans organizations that I'm affiliated with and got $4,000 for it. So, you know, at the end of the day, and then we've sold a bunch of, quote, campaign gear on our website, all of that support. So the cool part about this show, too, is that as silly as that was, the idea that we were to give back to organizations that support soldiers that have sacrificed for the country kind of makes it even more fulfilling.
Did you own that shirt, the green shirt, or they gave it to you?
Are you kidding? Yeah, that was not. I might not be the biggest fashion aficionado. That's definitely not something I would ever choose.
Okay. Is there anything, like, I'm just looking at these outfits, and he's wearing all these, like, flamboyant outfits. Has there been anything that they've been, like, they come to you, the wardrobe person comes to you and goes, "All right, here's your outfit for this week." Have you turned anything down and said, absolutely not?
No. I have, the first week when that shirt came out, I just didn't know better. I was training in Virginia. I flew out to LA right before the show for fitting, and they kind of described it to me, and I saw it, and I was like, okay.
I'm going on TV like this.
So there's been a couple discussions about, you know, hey, for next week, here's what we're thinking. I might say, hey, here's what I think would look good or whatever. To the extent that they care, I don't know, but I haven't been presented with anything since then that was that objectionable.
Sean Spicer is on with us. He's on Dancing with the Stars. He's partnered with Lindsay Arnold. I don't know how Sean's wife let him go on that show, you know, dance around with a hot 25-year-old. She's a good-looking girl. wasn't your wife, like, did she give you any commands, like, keep your hands to yourself, no funny business? Did she give you any warnings?
No, I don't think my wife has to. I'm pretty well, I think she knows how much I care about her and committed to her. And also, Lindsay's just a married woman to a great guy. And I don't think that was ever a concern, knowing those two things.
Tell me, Sean, now that you're out of the White House, which I guess you're probably, I would assume, happy that you're out of the White House, although I don't know. People like being in the center of things, in the mix of things, and obviously probably intoxicating being employed at the White House. What do you think of what's going on with this impeachment effort? I mean, I wonder how many people are paying attention, or if it's just you are, obviously, political people are, but the general public, it's like, man, so many things have happened during this administration. It's just one thing after another, and it's burnout. What are your thoughts on the process?
Yeah, so a couple things. One, to your question, I truly was honored to do the job, because I grew up as a working class kid in Rhode Island. You know, this was when we did like school trips, we just couldn't afford to go to Washington as a family. So this to me was an unbelievable honor to have the position. But to your question, yes, I'm glad I did it. It's so intense. It's 24/7. I'm glad I did it. I was honored to do it, but I'm glad I'm out, because you can only sustain that level of intensity for so long. Second, you're absolutely right in terms of the bandwidth of people paying attention. It's amazing being on this show, right, where I get up every day, I practice 4 to 5, 6 hours, and I do stuff for the show or catch up with other clients that I have. And you see all this clutter, and then because you're right, I'm still in the political world, I try to catch up on the news. But I think to myself, if I wasn't doing this for a living with clients that I have to make sure I'm up with, how much would I actually know? I think that there is a saturation point that we've reached of people, you know, of how much they're, you know, getting in politically, news-wise. So it's interesting to your question, how much is getting in there? I think what's going on, though, to the third part of your question, is that this is where the bases really are, right? So Pelosi has really tried to assuage the far left of her party by going through this whole process. I mean, they're a year out of an election. If they really wanted change, I mean, this is the time you focus all your efforts. But I think she has to show her base that she can do an impeachment thing. She's got 31 Democrats in the House that are in seats that Trump won their district. She only has an 18-seat majority. So I think this is definitely a dance for her as far as trying to keep her far left-wing base satisfied, with also making sure they don't lose their majority by overstepping, you know, what is tolerable for these 31 Democrats that are in districts that Trump won.
Are you, I remember watching the first, it wasn't a press conference, but your first, standing at the podium, yeah, talking about the audience size and all of that. It's just a fascinating time. I mean, you were a part of just an incredible moment in history. I will tell you, the time that you were there, and this whole administration is, I'm not a Trump fan, I got to be honest with you, I'll be up front, but I mean, this is an extraordinary time. Do you have any regrets? I mean, you were honored to do it, obviously, I know that. Are you worried of what will history look kindly upon you and the other people that that were working in the administration?
I wish I could answer that for you. I don't know what history will judge. I think I wrote a book, and I'm not trying to plug it here, but part of it was that I wanted to explain people why, in a lot of those cases, what really was going on, not to... As I try to say, I'm not trying to explain as opposed to, you know, make excuses for, i.e. like the point that you made about the first day. There's a lot that I don't know that I'd use the word regret, that I would have done differently is probably the better way to put it. I look back as a person and as a professional on most instances and say, okay, what did I do right there? What did I do wrong? And how can I be better? And that means just even a simple interaction with somebody or an interview or a project that I'm doing, and I'll say, wow, or even there's times with my kids and my wife, and I'll be like, wow, that was a really great day. Like, what made it so good? Oh, this, or what could I have done better as a dad? I think that's how you grow as a person. So there are plenty of things that I look back on and say, could I have done a better job, or could we have done a better job as a team? And the absolute answer is yes. And I think I've been fairly open about that it was different, it was new, it was not traditional, and so it was disruptive. And so that made things a lot less easy to control. That's not an excuse, it's just a reality. and I would have done a lot of things differently. And so I think history's going to be mixed. There are some really good things that we did, and there are some things that I think we could have probably definitely done a better job of.
What's it like, Sean Spicer is on with us. First of all, Dancing with the Stars. You're on Dancing with the Stars right now with Lindsay Arnold. You can vote for him, SpicerArnold.com. My wife told me she could teach me how to dance. She's a very good dancer. I'm not. How hard has it been learning these choreographed dances?
Well, if you're anything like me, then very hard. it just does not come natural to me. And when I say like, I have no rhythm, I have no artistic qualities whatsoever. So it is a tough, tough thing for me to do. Lindsay's been fantastic as a coach because I'll learn the steps. And so like, I've already basically learned next week's dance. It just doesn't look that good. And so what we do now is say, okay, you know all the steps. How do we make them look as close to a good dance as possible? And that's where, you know, whereas some people have a natural rhythm and so they're learning the steps and it looks good from the outset. I have to spend the rest of the week kind of polishing and going, you know, trying to make it look good. But it is a huge challenge for me, to get this thing every week. Shift gears, go, okay, that was heel leads. Now it's on your toes, and you have to move like this, and I'm going, holy smokes. And we're now in the phase of the competition where it's two a week. So this is going to be an unbelievably taxing challenge for me.
What do you do? It sounds like you have a consultancy business or something in politics. Now that you're out of the White House, you're on Dancing with the Stars, but that's not a career. What does Sean Spicer do in your day-to-day life, career-wise, nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, I have two firms. One, just a straight-up consulting firm where I help, you know, companies and CEOs kind of get strategic of where they want to go and how to get there. And the second is I'm a partner in a political firm that literally runs political campaigns for, you know, everywhere up and down the ballot called Point One. And all my stuff is at SeanSpicer.com where, you know, I do corporate speeches, appearances, a ton of different things. But obviously, to your point, from a career standpoint, you know, I've made all my, my background is in campaigns and is in strategic communications. And so that's what I've kind of focused on.
Did you ever get, I couldn't find an answer to this in my research on Sean Spicer, but he, little known fact, Dieter, he wrote an angry letter to his college newspaper. He was trying to get smoking banned in the dorm rooms there, I believe.
Okay.
And when they wrote an article on that, they called him Sean Sphincter instead of Sean Spicer.
You think that was an accident?
Well, that's what they said. They go, it was an accident, total typo. And Sean Spicer wrote an angry letter to the school newspaper demanding a correction, but I couldn't find out. Did they ever give you that correction? Did they ever publish? Did they ever do it, Sean?
I can't remember. just so we're clear, because I think that, you know, I knew the publisher and I were sort of, and I wouldn't say adversaries. Like I went to a school with 300 and something people in my class. So this is not some major college newspaper. Everybody knew each other.
Yeah.
And the guy that was the publisher of the paper and I kind of had butted heads on student government and political. So, I mean, it wasn't just the paper. He was on student government at the same time. And so when we clashed heads, it was clearly like, you know, it was just a spelling error. And it's like, really? We've known each other for 2 years. We work together every week. And by the way, we're on opposite sides of a lot of these issues. And so the idea that it was like, oops, it was just a mistake. I mean, it just was hard to buy at the time. And it wasn't a press versus me thing. It was more like I knew the guy. And yeah. I was just like, you know, stop trying to hide behind the fact that this is like a spell check when you and I are very, like, we know each other fairly well.
Right. If it was one letter, but three letters added in.
Just a funny tidbit about Sean Spicer from back in the day. So it even started way back before the inauguration thing and all that, the attendance and viewership started way back college newspaper. Sean was butting heads with the media. Well, Sean, people can vote for you. SpicerArnold.com, correct? Is that where they go to vote for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's got all the information. Basically, Monday nights while the show is live is the only time that people can vote. And, I mean, look, that's the only reason we're staying on the show right now is because we've got a bunch of support that's carrying us. We haven't been in the bottom two. Everybody gets 20 votes while the show is live, 10 by text, and you just text my name, S-E-A-N, to 21523 while the show is live, and then you get 10 more at abc.com. So everybody gets a total of 20. And on that website, SpicerArnold.com, it tells you all that same information in case, you know, you forget it. We send you reminders if you want to just sign up. We make sure that on Monday nights people know when to vote and all that kind of fun stuff.
Sean, I have one last question for you. And someone just sent me a text message here. A fan of the show sent a text message and wanted me to ask you this. And it's a good question. This administration, the number of press briefings that they give is just, I mean, it's off the charts low. It's you could go months without a press briefing from the White House. Is that a disservice to the American people? Would you do that differently, or why is it, and is it wrong, and what should be done about it?
Okay, I actually will disagree with the premise right now, and let me just walk you through this for a second. So, Stephanie, the new press secretary is not out there giving press briefings, but Mick Mulvaney was front and center in the press briefing room last week. They had the director of ICE in the press briefing room. There's other White House officials in the press briefing room on a fairly regular basis talking to the press corps about, you know, issues of the day. So the concept that it is not, that they are not in the briefing room is not true. The second thing is, and this is an overall principle, the job of a press secretary is to speak in lieu of the principal when they're not available. So whether you're a company spokesman, a political spokesman, a military spokesman, whatever it is, your job is to go out there and brief the press when the principal is doing their job, right, running the country, the company, whatever. The president of the United States, and this isn't like this is documented by all the people who watch, literally is engaging with the press every single day, right? So he's out there in front of Marine One. He's bringing him into Oval Office. He was in the back of Air Force One. He is almost 100% on a daily basis engaging with the press corps. So the question you have to ask yourself is, why, if the press corps can talk to the president of the United States directly every day, are they complaining that they can't talk to the press secretary? First of all, they can. Her office is 100% accessible. They can walk right up there. Right now, we're arguing whether or not the press secretary is on camera every day versus the president of the United States. My whole philosophy has always been it is better to see the principal than the press person, right? You don't want the staffer. You want the person. And so as long as citizens have someone in the government that is accessible and is answering the questions that, you know, the press has, that people have about how the government is being run, then that is what needs to happen. It doesn't necessarily, like, in the military, a lot of times we'll put out there what we call the operators. They don't want to hear from a press person. They want to hear who's running the operation, who's running the budget process, whatever it is, because they don't want to have to talk to a press person. So I think this is a bit of a silly argument that a lot of folks are making, because if the president wasn't acceptable, I completely buy this. But on almost a daily basis, he's engaging with the press corps, answering their questions, giving them, you know, a back and forth and an opportunity to ask. As long as that's happening, that's the key thing.
All right, Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars. I can't wait to see his outfit next week. I don't know. He's got to be dressed as Captain Kangaroo or something. I don't know. Who knows? Sean, I appreciate you coming on, my man, and good luck to you, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean Spicer. Yeah, those outfits are killing me. I mean, it's hilarious, isn't it?
You couldn't pay me to wear that thing.
I disagree with him, by the way, on that whole press thing, and obviously. But I saw a photo of him. I saw another one in my prep that just made me laugh. It's Sean Spicer dressed as, and he has the head off. He's dressed as the Easter Bunny at the White House. And it's so funny just to see, it. Look at this. I mean, this guy, he has no shame,
right,
apparently.
Right. Nothing.
He'll dress in anything.
He's a ham, I think. That's what it is. He really likes... That's, I think, from college and just in doing research on him, he's always been a ham and loves attention.
Sean Sphincter, right? Yeah. All right. I've got to take a break. We will be... Oh, son of a bitch.
What?
Ah, Franklin reminded me too late. Sean Spicer's the guy that wrote about Dippin' Dots and how horrible they are. Dippin' Dots.
Oh, yeah.
I would have taken him to task over Dippin' Dots, one of my favorite foods of all
important
time.
Important issues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, forget the gray or
forget
the
impeachment.
Lime,
forget the lime forget, shirt. Forget all that stuff. Let's talk Dippin' Dots. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Radio Station. Rover's Morning Glory is on your smart speaker. Ask Alexa to play 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio. If you thought the stuff that squirts out in those pimple-popping videos is gross and offensive...
Like a teaspoonful of mashed potatoes.
Wait until you hear what we do next.
This is the worst thing. We've reached the bottom.
Welcome back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Jeffrey, why don't you come in here? I've got to get an update from him. By the way... What? What are you laughing at, Douchey?
Did you see that, Snitz?
What is he doing?
His face?
Yeah. Why is he... Are you whistling?
Whistling, glasses off.
What's he doing? His glasses are off. Is he stoned or something?
I think so.
What's his...
Do you have a concussion from the car accident?
What are you doing?
Just thought I'd try to make a different type of entrance. You know?
Oh, okay. Why?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know. It was good.
How about try the fastest entrance?
Okay, Doogie.
So slow and whistling.
Got the headset on back.
Welcome back
again.
To work. Haven't seen you in a while.
Uh-oh. Hold on. Just got to turn it all around.
Got to talk into the mic.
Okay.
Wow. By the way, oh, Jesus Christ. I don't know. I just
can't
don't know.
Help what, it.
He cannot help manhandling that microphone.
Like a moth to the flame.
Anyhow, couple of things before I get to Jeffrey. I told you that the Dumb cheated on his wife with a prostitute in Nevada t-shirts will go on sale this Friday at roverradio.com. And that will be for one day only. But if you're an RMG Plus subscriber, you have the ability to get it anytime between now and then. So you can log on if you're a Plus subscriber, get your shirt ordered up. That way you have a little bit of time. If you know, because some people you may forget. You go, oh, one day only. What if you totally forget? Like, I did watch the World Series last night, but the night before, Doogie asked during the news, are you going to watch the World Series? Yeah, yeah, I'll turn it on. Totally forgot it was even on. And so you may forget on Friday. So if you're an RMG Plus subscriber, you can get your Dumb Cheated on His Wife with a Prostitute in Nevada t-shirt. It's a cool design. I really like it. Yeah, there it is on RMG TV. I really like the color, too. It's like a marigold print on like a blackish t-shirt. It's cool. I think you'll like it. You can wear that as you drive by the billboard that says Dumb cheated on his wife with a prostitute.
I was walking to the other side of the building and I heard a bunch of the promotions people talking about.
And just by the way, while you're talking, he just touched his microphone again.
He can't help
my
it.
My nose itches, so I had to scratch it.
Keep itching
but,
it.
But you can't touch your nose without touching
I'm
the
talking
microphone.
To a microphone and I'm itching my nose.
Yeah, look at this. Look, here, I'm touching my nose. Like, you cannot.
But his is on his head.
His
the
nose?
Mic.
Oh. It doesn't matter.
Look how far away the mic arm is from his nose.
It's 4 inches from his nose.
Itch your nose.
I'll just.
Why not use the other hand? It's not by the mic.
Well, I don't want to accidentally use my hand to touch the mic, so...
Why not? What? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, what were you saying, Doozy? I'm sorry. You overheard something?
It's
what?
It's fine. It's okay.
Well, just finish your story.
It wasn't that good.
Finish it. I'm demanding.
I'm in the walking down the hall and I hear all these people talking about, I can't believe I saw it. I drove by it. I didn't see it. I saw it today. I almost crashed my car. Like, people in the promotions department didn't know that it was going up, and they just, the afternoon guy on Kiss FM, Java Joel, he's like, oh my God, I almost crashed my car. I drove by it. When did they go up? And they're having this conversation, and I walk right by and I just started laughing. I'm like, they're talking about Dumb's billboard. It's a sight to be seen.
Well, let's talk about Jeffrey's car accident. And then after that, we'll talk about Nads being sentenced to jail.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah, you don't know this?
No!
Oh, boy. What's going
on? Okay.
Oh, I didn't hear anything. I was busy nonstop yesterday.
Should we just get into that first before we get into Jeffrey?
Oh, the car accident's pretty pressing. Because speaking of the billboard, I think that's what caused it. Jeffrey was looking up at that billboard, rubbernecking, and
plowed into
his. There's only one problem with that theory.
What's that?
I was not in that area.
Oh. So Nads, our former phone screener. Let's start there.
Uh-oh.
Nads has two court cases. The one, if you're a newer listener of the show, you may not have followed this drama as closely. You may not know what's going on, but our former phone screener worked for the show. Oh, for crying out loud, just leave the studio.
No,
you got to leave. You got to leave. He can't
tie his hands.
I can't go 30 seconds without him touching that microphone.
Can we zip tie his hands? I don't know
how this is possible.
Like, please,
it's just so laughing. He's doing it on purpose.
He does it on purpose to get off.
This is what he wanted.
No.
So make him stay.
He just won.
No, you know what happens?
Sit out there in the hallway permanently, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, you don't have to come in.
He takes his glasses off. He can't see the mic when he's touching
his
face.
That's just BS.
Keep the glasses on.
But everything he did was on purpose, from the way he walked in, the way he put the headphones on backwards, knowing they're backwards.
He doesn't care, Rover.
He's very happy and content with himself.
That's fine. He can be happy out there, sitting out there as out on Skid Row, not talking on the radio, because I can't take that. It's just so ridiculous that the guy's been working here for 10 years and he can't figure out, how to turn the microphone on 75% of the time. He's just talking for 30 seconds and the microphone's not on. And we're saying, the microphone's not on, the microphone's not on. And he just keeps talking. Then when you put him in here and I actually have control over his on-off button because he's on the headset mic in the studio, he just can't stop just manhandling it and touching it nonstop. Anyhow, so Nads, our former phone screener, who had when we hired him 5 years ago or whatever it was, we didn't know that he had all of these pending charges against him, these felony drug charges and DUI, and he's been popped for DUI like I think it's a total of 5 or 6 times now, including these last two. We didn't know that when we hired him, and we learned about that later. And so we, as a show, as staff here, sort of went along on this ride with you, the audience, through the ups and downs of Nads's drug addiction. We didn't know this. I knew he had a problem, or he told us, we learned this during the show, that he had a problem with pills, Xanax, benzos. We knew that he had tried heroin sometimes.
Well, I thought it was just once. He tried it
a few times.
Not my thing.
Not my thing is what he would tell us. And then, he was doing things. He was missing work and, oh, I got this weird illness and this. And everything was very suspicious. And He tested positive for benzos, I think, while he was on probation for that first DUI. Well, it's really the third or fourth DUI, but the first we knew of, first that he had during the show 5 years ago. And while he's on probation for that, he tested positive again, and all this stuff. So more recently, just a few months ago, he left the radio station. He was driving home. And he was pulled over and arrested for driving erratically and he had heroin, like a needle, a syringe that he would shoot up the heroin with. I mean, he called me and told me that the cops found that. So he was arrested. The radio station kept him. They thought it would be callous to let go a guy who has a drug problem. I don't know if I agree with that philosophy, but that was their philosophy. Fast forward about 4 weeks after that arrest, he is not here for a couple of days. We don't know what he's doing. He's got this going on. He's got that going on. Oh, whatever the story is. And then I get an email, and it tells me it's a police report, and it tells me that he has been arrested once again for driving under the influence again, for smashing into two cars. He was driving and plowed into two cars. We showed video of it on the Friday Leftovers a few weeks ago. You can go back and watch that on RMG Plus if you're a subscriber. The body cam video and whatnot from the cops. Anyhow, so he has these two cases pending. DUI number, we'll just call it DUI number 5 and DUI number 6.
Okay.
And they're all encompassing the drug charges, the hit and run, all of it. But DUI 5, DUI 6, we'll call it. DUI 5 was the more minor one. He was just caught driving erratically, had the syringe and all that. So he went to court on that. They kept trying to delay this, delay this, delay this, delay this. Sure. Eventually, I think they were backed into a corner. They had to either go to court. I think he pleaded guilty to DUI, and they dropped some of the other charges. I think they dropped the felony drug possession and the drug paraphernalia and all of that.
Really?
Yeah. So they got him on a DUI. He pleaded guilty to that, and he was sentenced yesterday, I believe, 6 months in jail.
Oh, really?
Oh my God!
Yeah. So
that was for,
that's for the first thing.
Easy
that's
one.
For the first.
So
thing. You
got to
remember, he's got this second one pending in another, I guess it's a different county.
Oh boy.
Where he has the other DUI, the one where he smashed into the two cars and left and all that. That's the one that we played the body cam from.
Number 5 is now closed because he is in jail.
Case closed.
Done.
6 months in jail.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how the legal system works. I don't know if he'll actually serve a full 6 months or whether they'll let him out in 30 days. That I can't tell you. I don't know. I really don't know.
30 days?
Yeah, they do that a lot. And then you're on probation or something.
Yeah, but he just tested a positive like a week ago. So they're not going to take any of that into consideration? Or is that for the second case?
They let people out all the time early. All the time.
I mean, for all sorts of stuff, they let people out, especially nonviolent offenders. So I don't know
in
if
your
he's
car,
gonna,
well, hitting people, that's not violent.
That's not what he's sentenced. This is 6 months for just the erratic, for the DUI.
So they wait for him to
DUI number 5.
Get out for the second charge?
Oh, no.
Or are they going to do
it? I think they're probably, if
he'll be taking a lot of rides over to that other courthouse, I think.
Oh, is that how
during?
It works?
And then,
oh, yeah.
So they could add on more to his sentence right now.
Well, no, it will be served in a different county. It would.
Oh,
they could also possibly run concurrently, though.
Yeah, doesn't that happen sometimes?
So
yeah.
What would that mean? They
so
would
say you got
him
a year.
Not consecutively. It would run at the same time. So as he's serving in Geauga County, they also count that towards the other county.
Right.
They could.
They could.
I mean,
they
this
could.
Is all.
Right.
Who knows what could happen?
But he's not going to go to that. Who knows when that trial is going to be? So now it was like continuance, less delay. Now they're probably going to be speeding things up. Like, hey, let's get to court. Let's get, since he's already in jail.
Yeah,
they probably want to get to it as quickly as possible because it's a totally unrelated case.
So
if he serves out his 6 months or 5 out of his 6 months, that has nothing to do with his second case. They're not going to go, oh yeah, we're going to give you credit for that because that has nothing to do with us.
So I talked to him yesterday
From jail?
Yeah, he called me from jail.
It's one call.
So do you have a recording? Like, you have a call from an inmate at the Geauga County Jail.
Kind of.
How
did I know to pick up? Well, he was texting me before that.
He can text?
This is the strangest thing I've ever heard of. Apparently, prisoners, they just give them cell phones now, and they can text.
What?
Yes.
You gotta be
kidding. He's living it up.
This is not prison for him.
This is all he needs.
This is...
Yeah, social media.
He's texting me all the time. Yesterday he was texting me.
What do you get on this phone? Can you make phone calls?
That is insane.
I don't know if you can make... I didn't ask if you can make phone calls from that phone, and it's not even really... I guess it's not a cell phone. It doesn't sound like it does much other than texting.
But if you could text, you could text all day.
Well, it's 10 cents a text, so you can't, be texting a lot.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Do you think he cares?
Anyways, he was texting me yesterday, and he said, I'm going to call. Make sure you press 1 as soon as I call. So I didn't actually hear the message, but I think we talked for 15 minutes, and I did hear that voice that you said. You have 2 minutes left, and then, you got to start wrapping things up. You have 1 minute left. And so he's in jail right now, obviously. He's not sure, and his lawyer is not sure, if this is actually 6 months. There seems to be a misunderstanding here going on, and it doesn't sound... like it might not be the 6 months.
Well, what's the misunderstanding?
It's very confusing, but he only charged guilt. He's guilty of the DUI, right?
That's what he pleaded guilty to.
Yes.
And apparently, as part of that plea deal, they dropped the other charges.
Doesn't sound like they did.
Oh.
He might still have to do that. It sounds like to him, he might be able to do some sort of plea deal. It's very confusing that he might actually just get out in 2 or 3 weeks. But he's not sure yet. He still has to talk to his lawyer.
And then what? When you get out? He's charged in for the drugs?
Yeah, it might be something like that. I'm not 100%. He kept trying to explain it to me, and he was not sure either.
How do you not know that when you do a plea deal?
Because
don't they go over everything at that point?
It's because he tested positive. It confused everything, and that went to a different court system now something. So it's
I forgot to mention, if you haven't been following this drama, in the interim between DUI 5 and DUI 6, and now he's awaiting trial for both. He then gets busted, tested positive for fentanyl and cocaine.
Yeah, and this has made everything much more complicated in his life.
Yeah. And you think?
So he's not 100% sure at all what's going to happen right now. But he said if it's 6 months, it's okay. It sounds awful in there, but basically said he deserves it, and at least he's clean right now. So he'll be clean for 6 months.
How can he have no idea whether he's going to be in jail for 2 weeks or 6 months?
He explained to me over and over and over again, and I could not wrap my head around this. It's very confusing, the whole legal process.
Oh, wow. All right. That's well, I guess we'll wait and see.
You still have to think, and there's another case. We're just talking about the first case and what will happen with that.
Right.
That other case is way worse.
Nate says different county sentences cannot run concurrent unless it's served in prison. County time runs in county jail. That would run consecutive, not concurrent. If that's, who knows? We're getting armchair legal advice here from people via text message, so I don't know.
I'll give you his number. You can text him if you want. But just remember, it's 10 cents a text, okay?
But who gets charged? Him or?
It's him.
Does he get charged for every message
incoming,
he receives?
Incoming and outgoing.
Oh,
so.
Wow. We could really screw him. I could just tweet that message out. And
we would never do that.
You could. I don't know why you would. That'd be weird.
Well, you could rack up like an $80,000 bill in 24 hours.
Yeah. Sure you could. All right, I'm not going to give you the number anymore.
Good.
Wait, you said he's clean now, you said? Don't you have to go through some sort of withdrawal and stuff? I mean, he just got tested positive, no?
He sounded...
I don't know how
he's very good at sounding good or bad, so I don't know. He sounded perky, awake. He's in jail. He sounded
what
not
else
high.
Did he say?
What else did he say?
Does he have his own?
He said he couldn't believe that he was out for as long as he was, and he was just waiting for this to happen. He could not believe it that he's going to Cedar Point riding Ferris wheels and just putt-putt and living life as long as he did. So he was trying to have as much fun as he was out as possible, because he knew this was going to...
Well, does he mention the fentanyl and cocaine to you?
He said he was clean for a while. And what happened was his drug dealers would nonstop be texting him, and he'd block their numbers, and they would constantly be harassing him. And he's not blaming them, but he's saying, this is what happened. They just kept saying, hey, you need anything? And these dudes would just constantly be texting him saying this, and then finally said, yeah, one day, and there you go.
That's like blaming a commercial for McDonald's on you overeating.
I agree. But I think it would be hard.
They kept showing me Big Mac commercials.
I couldn't stop myself. trying to think of what else he said. Yes, he does have a roommate, a cellmate.
Uh-huh. And how's his cellmate?
He's very quiet. Uh-huh. He's not sure what crime that guy's committed, but he will not speak to, he just won't speak to Nads at all. There's absolutely no speaking.
Did he tell you anything about him? Older guy, younger guy?
Older guy.
White guy?
I think he said black. Older guy just plays solitaire every day and just will not speak or communicate. He doesn't leave his cell, and he seems kind of scary.
Okay.
He actually said he wanted to call in and explain all this to you.
Oh, my God. I'd love to do it. I don't know if that would be a wise move.
I told him that. I said, as interesting as that would be, I was like, do you think you want to wait till, you know, this? Because you guys got some sort of other thing coming up in 2 weeks. It's like, you sure you don't want to wait and you don't want to jeopardize whatever's going to happen
to you? Yeah, you probably. I'd love to do it. I would love to do it. I just, for his own sake, I have no sympathy at all.
I know.
But it's probably not a wise move.
I tried telling him that, and he said, no, it's cool. So he said, I texted him just a minute ago, and he said, because he said he was going to call in, and then he hasn't called in. And I said, if you were going to call in, now would be the time. And he said, he can't right now. A race war just happened, maybe tomorrow. So hopefully he lives through that. He's looking at different gangs to join.
Yeah, he's he's like the palest guy, too. If a race war breaks out in the jail, he's in big, big trouble.
Did he talk about, like, how his girlfriend's doing?
Oh, yeah, that's... I got to take a break, because that was in one of the court filings.
I have conflicting reports here.
Hold on. That was in one of the filings that he made. He said, I can't... You got to let me back out on bond, because, A, I got to go work at my full-time job, that it doesn't seem like he really had, and B, my girlfriend just tried to commit suicide 3 days ago, so I got to be there for her. And then a friend of that girlfriend says, no, she says it's BS. So maybe Charlie has some more info on that. Let me take a break and we'll find out. If you're listening to us on a station that only carries the show until 10 a.m. Eastern, you can continue listening or watching live for free at roverradio.com or with the Rover Radio app. For everyone else, we'll be right back after this with that and our last shizzy of the morning. And maybe we'll skip the shizzy. Maybe we'll just get to Jeffrey's car accident.
And you have a guest.
And I have a guest. Oh, yeah. Well, the girl flashed at the World Series. She's going to be on. Julia Rose.
So hot.
In just a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. Hang on.
Rovers, an iHeart Radio station. Set your alarm to Rover's Morning Glory. Just say, Alexa, wake me up to 100.7 WMMS on iHeartRadio weekdays at 7 a.m. Bringing your radio back to life.
Check for pulse.
Like a Narcan shot right to your ear. Time for more Rover's Morning Glory.
All right, I'm going to get back to Charlie's story here about talking to Nads, who's in jail. And is it true that Nads' girlfriend tried to commit suicide? Because that's what he was saying in a court filing, trying to get out of going to jail. He's like, I got to be there for my girlfriend. She just tried to commit suicide yesterday. So Charlie has some more info on that. We'll get to that in just a moment. However, first, I've got to get to one of the ballsiest women, and I say that pun intended, because she whipped them out at the World Series. Whipped out those knockers at the World Series. You saw that, didn't you, Dieter?
Oh, they're perky.
Here's the video in case you missed it. There they are, just these two chicks back in the background there, just lifting up their shirt.
And the whole nation is watching this.
Yeah, they're just flashing right there. So the pitcher, yeah. Like, he sees... I think he sees her. I don't know. The The umpire calls timeout.
Because he sees them.
No, he can't. He's looking at the pitcher. I'm wondering, did the first base umpire, maybe he saw someone. I don't know. They stopped the game. Someone must have called timeout. I don't know what happened exactly, but we'll ask her. Julia Rose is her name, one of the girls that did this, and she's on the line with us right now. Julia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing fantastic. Great. Better now that I've seen your boobs. first of all, I'll get into why you did this, but let's get into, you flash and they stop play. Was that because someone saw you flash, or was it just a total coincidence that the umpire called timeout there right before the pitch, right after you guys flashed?
I'm pretty sure we made eye contact with the pitcher. You know, I can't give you, like, exacts because I don't know if they haven't had a chance to ask him if that's why they called timeout or not. But I do remember we were actually supposed to wait for the windup, and that's why one of us had our shirts up. I was trying to wait until he was getting ready to wind up to do it.
Yeah.
And he didn't even make it to the windup because I think my friend next to me, we ended up just doing it right then and there.
Doing it right then and there, right. And, all right, so... what was the purpose of this other than allowing horny dudes like me to see those beautiful breasts? What's the purpose of this stunt?
The purpose was it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We were wanting to pay off some women's medical bills when it came to breast cancer and, have a more hands-on approach towards donations. So that was our main motive behind it. And looks like we had... a bunch of success raising awareness and doing our thing.
Now, is that the real reason, or is that like after you get blowback for it, you're like, oh, it's for breast cancer awareness. That's really why we were doing it. That, I mean, it's a novel approach, I suppose, if it's true.
No, I mean, it's definitely, people always ask about self-promotion, and we were promoting our magazine, Shag Mag, which is a pro free the nipple magazine. So I like to call it the Millennial Playboy. But it sucks because they cut off our shirts. The camera cut off right above where our shirts were, and we had breast cancer ribbons on our shirts.
Ah.
So we went in with the intention to raise awareness. Did we get backlash? And yeah, of course. But it sucks that they literally right under where the breast cancer ribbons were is where the camera cut off.
So what is Shag Mag exactly?
So Shag Mag is a magazine I started about 8 months ago. I just felt like the millennial man needed some, sex and dating advice from women rather than other men. And I was known for creating, content that social media didn't really agree with. So I decided to create my own platform where women could come, shoot this kind of sexy content, and also give men a place where they could come, get sex advice, read about sports and dating and all the fun stuff.
So when she says she did content that social media didn't agree with, that's essentially just showing your boobs, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely showing boobs, being more on the riskier side, and pushing some boundaries.
What do you think about...
God, she's hot.
Oh, yeah, she's really hot.
I got that picture. That was
always... Yeah, she's really hot. No, oh, my God, I could look at her all day. Yeah. And I'm not even into... you have some tattoos. I'm not, like, real into tattoos, but,
But they're small tattoos.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
tasteful.
Very tasteful tattoos. That's right,
Are they real?
Her breasts or the tattoos?
No, the tattoos. No, the breasts. The temporary tattoos.
Mattitude and I are in here doing research, staring at all the pictures, trying to decide. We're kind of on the fence.
Oh, her boobs? Yes. Are they real?
This
one,
this picture makes me think.
That's a bra.
I think that's a bra, but the more I look at it, the more I'm thinking they're real.
No.
Yes, Rover.
They've got to be augmented. They have to be. Julia, what's the scoop?
They're organic.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Lucky you. So are you, many people nowadays, we're so politically correct these days, Julia, a lot of people would say that what you did is horrible, and forget the World Series, but even, this Shag Mag thing, that it's over-sexualized and... you're promoting, somebody would come up with a way you're promoting rape culture somehow, I'm sure. How do you respond to all of the criticism that I'm sure that you get?
I mean, when it comes to criticism, there's always going to be people that don't agree with what I'm doing, and that just comes with pushing boundaries and doing something, you know, that's different and that's outside the box. I like to more so respond to the people that are showing love, and we've gotten a lot, you know, as much people that are criticizing us, we've gotten a lot of love, a lot of support, and women that are on board. I mean, even leaving the game, we had a woman come up that actually had breast cancer, and she was standing behind us when we were doing it, and just hearing, you know, women's stories and stuff kind of helps me get through people being really critical of it. I mean, I think it's more of a projection thing of when you see a naked woman, I feel like your feelings kind of come back on, like, how you feel about it rather than, I feel like I'm the same person, you know, whether I'm, if I'm in a suit, turtleneck, topless, bikini, I'm still who I am despite what I'm wearing.
So what happened after you flashed this pitcher in the middle of the World Series, right in the middle of the game, right before he pitches, they stopped the game. What happens to you after that?
So we were, I don't know if you could tell in the videos or not, but there were two security guards already down there that we had to kind of fight through to end up flashing. Those security guards were having to call for backup. Police came down with other security guards, and I think there was like five or six total. We got escorted down. I like to call it like MLB jail. It was kind of like in this basement-looking thing where we sat for about 2 hours and were detained. And everyone was super nice, though. I mean, we even had security guards coming up, and we didn't even know at that point if it had been aired or not. And we're being told by them that it had made it to TV. And it was, you know, it wasn't that bad being detained with them. And then in 2 hours, they came in, and that's when we got our letters, and we were told that we were banned from that stadium for 5 years and then banned from MLB events indefinitely.
So did you actually get charged by the police with anything?
No, we didn't get charged with the police with anything. It was just more so, I believe it was the GM of either that stadium or MLB. I can't remember. It's on the letter. But it was just them telling us, you know, no more MLB names.
Right.
In my life.
So you, that's what, these weren't even your seats. You walked down to this area in order to try to get on TV. Is that right?
Yeah, well, our seats were initially behind home plate. We got those seats because they were on camera to begin with. When we got there, we were actually pulled aside and told that they knew who we were. And we had shirts that said Shag Mag on the outside. And we were told that we needed to zip up our jackets because they didn't want any promotion for Shag Mag on camera. And so when we were talking to our friends back at home that were watching the game, they said that they had shifted over the cameras just barely to where we were now off camera. Oh, so, yeah.
Trying to silence the Shag Mag.
Yeah, so little did they know, you know, we weren't even going to use the shirt to begin with, but we, the last minute, made a change of plans, and I knew that the stairs were on camera when we had watched the previous game. And I was like, we're just going to have to literally book it down the stairs. If people try and stop you, you just go for it until we get escorted out.
So what's it done to your traffic at shagmag.com? Have you looked?
I mean, yeah, we definitely have had a huge boost in subscribers, which has been really awesome because, like I said, when it does come to, like, raising money, it's a huge thing. And it's been really awesome seeing the feedback and the growth, and just even brand recognition has been really awesome.
Are these Patreon numbers I'm reading real? Because I'm reading, she's got a Patreon, so it's $15 a month to sign up.
Yeah.
You get exclusive content.
Okay, yeah.
She's got 9,695 patrons.
9,695 times 15, that's $145,000.
A month.
A month.
Times
but she's got to give that to other people, too. I mean, not just, you got to, it's this not is, just, or, I don't know, maybe how it's
much
all
it,
just
how much did it jump up between the World Series and now?
About 1,000.
Wow. Wow, holy mackerel. Never underestimate the power and the spending power of horny dudes.
She's giving the people what they want.
Well, nowadays everyone's trying to pretend, you know, oh, toxic masculinity, guys aren't into this. And you have a bunch of dudes going around pretending like they're not into hot chicks and boobs. They're like, oh, no, I'm too refined for that. Let's advocate for transgender in the Olympics.
No, she's at the World Series, boobs out. She's driving a car, boobs out. Riding a roller coaster, boobs out.
It's you see the actual boobs on her site?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're really helping people, right? Like, I get it, but are you really helping? You're really giving money to breast
don't
cancer?
Don't listen to her. She's gross.
I'm just wondering.
Nobody wants to see her boobs. That's the problem.
I could lick a football and get just as many reactions.
Try it.
Put some black crap under my eyes. I will recreate that photo.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Nobody Charlie? Wants to see it. I'll pay $15 a month not to look at it.
Julia, how old are you, Julia?
I'm 25.
All right. What are your... what did your family think of all the, you know, obviously you've been in the news. Are they okay with not only the World Series, but the Shag Mag and everything else? Or how do they feel about all this attention?
My mother's probably the most supportive. She understands, you know, my mission. And to answer your question, yes, we are genuinely helping people. I like to, like, really nail that down because, you know, people are like, oh, is it just talk? No, no, I promise we are actually helping people. And I think that is why my mom is so supportive. My mom is actually has dealt with, you know, breast cancer and stuff like that as well. So I think my mom is more on the supportive side because she gets what I'm trying to do. When it comes to my dad, you know, I would say less on the supportive side. But definitely still, you know, they know who I am and I'm still the same person no matter what.
Now, are you I'm just looking at these photos, these hot photos of Julia Rose. Are you you single? You got a boyfriend? You married? You a lesbian? What's your story?
I'm single.
Yeah. You have to say that.
Yeah, right? Yeah, to get she more
could,
hits.
She could be married with six kids, but you got to say you're single right. To keep those numbers up.
No kids. No kids, no husband. Definitely not.
All right. Well, Julia, it's a great thing. Maybe we'll see you at the Super Bowl, huh?
Yeah, you never know. We definitely have some more stuff up our sleeve, that's for sure.
Rectal cancer month to show your ass at the Super Bowl.
I like that idea. Yeah. Sure. All right. Julia Rose, thank you, hon.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Yep. Bye-bye. She's a good-looking girl, huh?
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Do you really believe that she's donating money to breast cancer?
$145,000, she's given $1,000 to fight breast cancer. Who cares? $145,000? You gotta be kidding me.
I am in the wrong business.
No, you got the wrong body.
Right face. I could do that. I really could.
That's $1.7 million a year.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
What does she have on Instagram?
$3 million. $3.2 million.
Seriously?
What is she doing on Patreon that is, I mean, dirty? How dirty is it getting on there?
Well, you have to... It won't show you a single thing
subscribe for
until you subscribe. I don't know.
What's the tease? Is there a teaser?
No. It just says to sign up. Let me find it.
The Instagram's the teaser.
Yeah, you see, because it gets very close on Instagram. You're almost seeing areola every time.
Oh, I got to do that on my Instagram.
Yeah, it just says.
What's her name?
Yeah, some of these, you can't see it on Instagram. The side of the nipple.
October, like right here, behind the scenes video from the World Series. I mean, that's going to be good.
Well,
lots of behind the scenes video.
I'm sure she's she's working hard to cure cancer, obviously. Man, oh man, oh man. Let's see, where was I? All right, so you were talking, Charlie, about Nads, our former phone screener. You talked to him in jail.
Yeah,
he's in jail, and apparently they give you a cell phone when you're in jail. You can make phone calls and text people with your cell phone. What's that buzzing?
This light in the hallway. Oh, it's been doing it all day.
Oh my
God. Is that it? Let me turn the mics off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. It's very loud out there. Can you someone dumb, can you put in a trouble ticket for us, please?
I'm sure Jeffrey's working on it. Look. Yeah. Just feet up, arms crossed. What?
Sitting out there.
Not doing much.
Honestly, I don't have at this point. I don't have access to a computer to put in that trouble ticket for the buzzing light out in the hallway. So I think Dumb can take care of that since he's the producer of our show.
So I want to get an update what he said about this girlfriend's suicide. Melinda in Clinton, New Jersey. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Melinda.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to kind of comment. First of all, I don't know where Naz is, but I know where I am. After your third DUI, it's like automatic jail time. And I mean, the fact that, sorry, there's a truck driving by.
That's all right.
The fact that he is a fifth and a sixth, I mean, I would think that you know, everybody talks about the opioid epidemic and all this stuff. At what point in time do you say someone shouldn't be in jail and let's get them help instead? Because locking someone up isn't going to help.
Yeah, but he's been through all of the drug treatment. He's been through this treatment in lieu of conviction or whatever the hell they call that. He's done all that, and he's got the talk of I'm going to,
for years.
Yeah, this is a good thing that I was caught and that I can help other people. I mean, he's all the
he's
same.
He's not a dummy.
Stuff, yeah.
He's smart.
I think they've tried the treatment. Now maybe jail will work. I don't know, but try something.
Well, maybe it will, but I just find it, you know, people get caught with drugs, people get, you know, caught drinking and driving, and they send them to jail. Now, I recently had a situation where my neighbor's son, you know, was doing drugs with his girlfriend and attacked myself, my fiance, and my 2-year-old with a knife outside on our front porch, and stabbed us a lot. Slit my fiance's throat, stabbed me through my face.
Jeez.
They let him out of jail the next day. And
how's that possible? They let him out the next day?
Now because they're so, you know, the jails are so overcrowded in New Jersey, they changed the bail so that there's no, you don't have to pay to get out anymore. You go in front of a judge and the judge says, oh, well, you haven't been in trouble before? Sure, we'll let you out. And he was let out the next day, which I find to be absolutely, utterly insane.
And then is he living right next door to you, the guy who just stabbed you in the face?
Well, his mom lives upstairs. He there's a no contact order, so he can't live here. But we're actually going to be relocating anyways because I can't even stay in this place anymore. But it's unbelievable.
What led to you getting stabbed? Was there some sort of verbal altercation with this guy ahead of time, or what happened?
Well, you know, they were, you know, doing all types of, you know, they were doing heroin and cocaine and living on a very erratic schedule.
Yeah.
And the girlfriend who didn't live there, and she would stay over and stuff, she would come outside, and there's a lot of kids that live in the building. She'd come outside yelling at the kids, you know, at noon that they woke her up, you know, to be quiet.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the next day, they were, you know, playing all this loud music. I was trying to put my 2-year-old down for a nap. So I called the mom to say, you know, hey, can you let him know to keep it down? And they came downstairs and just started screaming. And my fiance, he was holding the baby. And the girl's boyfriend ran inside, and he came back out, and my fiance gave me the baby, and he said, we're calling the cops, you know, we'll let the cops deal with this. And the kid went in his pocket, pulled out a knife, stabbed my fiance 7 times, slit his throat, and then stabbed me right through my face and in my arm while I was holding my son.
Jeez almighty.
Now, and what was unbelievable, though,
boy,
is that they didn't even want to give them endangering the welfare of a child. I had to, like, plead with the prosecutor.
That's crazy. I mean,
this
whole thing sounds crazy.
All he got was 45 days.
Now, so when you say, I do have one question. When you say you called upstairs to the mother to ask if they could keep it down, how did that phone call go? Because this is like how Doogie tells me a story. She'll be like, no, I just called and I said, hey, would you, I don't mean to bother you, but could you possibly keep it?
Well, the mom wasn't home.
Uh-huh.
So they were like stomping and screaming and all this stuff. So I called the mom and I said, you know, not really sure what's going on upstairs. You know, there's yelling, there's screaming, there's stomping. So I was going to go upstairs and say something, but then he started kicking on, like, the front door and stuff, like, from the inside out.
Man.
So that's when I called the mom, and I was standing on my front porch, and I guess the girlfriend must have heard. So she came out, you know, you effing see, mind your own business, and you know, whatever. And the mom was on the phone with me the whole time, and she was at the store, and she's like, let me come. I'm coming home. I'm going to take care of it, see what's going on. And before she could even get home, he whipped out a knife and just went to town on us.
Right. So how bad were you guys injured? I mean, I know how you were stabbed, but how bad? I mean, you go to the hospital, I'm sure.
I've had to have a few surgeries on my face. My fiance was medevaced to a hospital up in North Jersey. He's good. You know, it's just, if anything, I think it's more so just the mental, you know, part of it than anything else.
That's a crazy story.
It's sad how, you know, people have actual problems like drugs or alcohol or whatever. And I'm in recovery, and I went to a lot of different programs and whatever, but you got to want it. You know, if you don't want it, if they send you to a program, it doesn't really matter. You could go and you could sit there for 3 years. If you want to get high, you're going to get high.
That is true. No one can force you. I've said it a million times. No one can get you to clean up. Your family, your friends.
No.
You know, you can tell people and they'll go, yeah, you're right, I understand. But unless they make a decision themselves, that's who has to do it, is the addict themselves.
Absolutely.
And
even if you have kids, it's not like your kids are going to make you clean up. Yeah. Even though people think like, oh my God, once you have kids, you know, you got to want to do it yourself. You know, I don't know what's going to happen now that they just, he's gotten all this time. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably end up putting everything together and running it. I mean, I know in, you know, most states, you know, they run everything. They'll run things concurrent unless it's like really bad stuff.
I was just looking up Clinton, New Jersey, because I go, remind me, Dieter, never to stop in Clinton, New Jersey, because I'm going to get stabbed. But I looked it up, and the first photo I get of Clinton, New Jersey is of this like red barn with this like, it's next to a little waterfall.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
It looks so pretty.
That's the red. Well, that's the thing. We live in one of the richest counties in the country.
Melinda, take care of yourself. Watch out. Arm yourself. Get a gun. Shoot people. Whatever you got to do. But all right, thank you, Melinda. I appreciate it. Bye bye. She'll talk like those New Jersey chicks, huh?
Yeah.
Talker.
Where did we leave off? 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
What? I don't even know what you're saying.
Charlie was going to give us an update because Nad said in one of his court filings, you got to let me out.
Oh, with the girlfriend.
Yeah, after he got rearrested and put in jail for while he's awaiting trial on all these different charges, he then tests positive for fentanyl and cocaine. So they take him, they put him in jail, and then he goes, whoa, hold on. You gotta let me out because I have a full-time job at a limo company, and on top of that, I have pneumonia
and
a lung infection, and my girlfriend just tried to commit suicide yesterday, so I got to take care of her. So then a friend of the girlfriend, Maddie, called us yesterday and said, that's not true. I talked to her. She says it's BS. So, did you get an update as to any of that?
Yes. Charlie? After the show, Maddie texted me.
Okay.
And said, FYI, I did not try to kill myself. I've had a lot of people reach out to me saying, I hope you're okay. You're in my prayers and stuff. I said, okay, that's good.
That's good that she's
okay. That you didn't do that and you're okay.
Yeah.
Sorry that you had to go through that.
Yes.
The Nads calls me last night, and the Nads phone call, I said, hey, man, good defense, you know, your girlfriend.
The suicidal girlfriend, that's a good one.
I said, that's a good one. He says, what do you mean? And I said, when you said that, you know, you lied and you said that she tried to kill herself, and he goes, I'm not lying about that. And I said, are you serious? And he said, yeah, that happened.
So who do you believe?
Oh, and he said, I understand she doesn't want that out there, and nobody's going to believe me because I'm the guy in jail. And I said, yeah, I get that.
And he lies about everything.
And I was like, yeah, and you're a liar.
Everything.
And you're a liar. So that's the update then.
Who knows what to believe?
Well, who do you believe? Or
who
do you...
knows?
Do you see this email from Dong Bobbler?
From who?
Dong Bobbler.
Oh, Mr. Dong.
You said Dong Bobbler. I go,
Mr. Bobbler?
You get that?
No, yeah. It's Dong Bobbler up to. I get all of my current events and inside information from Bobbler? Dong Bobbler.
He says NAD's got 180 days for the post-work DUI, which was not so bad one. So
yeah.
The charge for the needle, that was dismissed.
Yeah, that's exactly the what
felony,
I said.
Shut up. The felony drug possession case has a stay, not dismissed. It will come back later. The get-go DUI will be a felony, his fourth in 10 years. He'll be going away for years.
Well, who knows? We'll see.
It's possible, and Nads thinks it's possible, too. He's not sure.
I'd be very nervous if I were him.
Yeah.
But it's you can never know with
these legal
systems.
You can plea things down.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah. I don't know what is in store for him, but I mean, the craziness doesn't stop. It's man, oh man, oh man. I'm glad I never got into any of that stuff. Drugs, you know? Yes, Jeffrey. What is it?
I believe Nads does go to prison, he's in store for a lot, because what happens is, being that I used to be a correctional officer, so I kind of was like schooled on some of the procedures and stuff, they'll probably ship him down to the Lorain Correctional Institution for like an initial intake.
No,
he'll be there
to
for
Lorain?
About two. Well, it's probably because of it, because it's this close proximity to us. And then he'll spend maybe a couple, maybe 2 weeks there.
Would
then,
he go to Geauga? Because he's in Geauga and Summit. Wouldn't he go to one of those two?
No, I'm talking about this is a state prison we're talking. If he goes, if he has to do time in a state prison, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And then he'll then be shipped to the correctional reception center down in Orient, which he'll be there for about maybe 3 weeks, and they do all the paperwork, all the intake, all the assessment as to his crime, threat level, security level, all that kind of stuff. And then from then on, he will then be assigned to a prison that matches that, whether it be a minimum, medium, or a maximum, or even a supermax prison. You know, it depends on all those factors.
How many state prisons are in Ohio?
I believe there's at least 33 active prisons in the Ohio prison system, if I'm not mistaken.
Did you see that there was some guy, I don't even know what state it was, he's a convicted rapist serving life in prison, and they let him out on accident.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, he didn't escape. I guess they just one day go, oh, hey, you're ready to be released. And he's like, okay.
Well, they got to bring him back.
He's not going to say no.
I guess that's how it happened. I didn't read the article. I read like the first three sentences of it, and it just said a violent convicted rapist was released in error from prison. Like, it didn't make it seem like he was... He didn't pull a scam like some people walk out and try and mingle with visitors, you know, like blend in or whatever they might have been doing. It seems like they got their paperwork screwed up and they let this guy out.
Yeah, it doesn't go into detail. It just says in error.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
Serving. This is not some guy that was doing 2 years in jail. This guy is serving life in prison. He must have been thinking the whole time, are they trying to scam me?
Yeah, once I walk out, they're going to shoot me in the back?
Yeah, he must have been thinking that, right?
Rapist, child molester.
Oh, boy.
Aggravated child molester.
And now he's out walking the streets. They haven't caught him, right?
This doesn't say.
He just got the hell out of there quick.
It says search. Yeah, they're still searching.
How in the world does that happen? Jeffrey, how would that happen? You're my only guy that works on the show with a corrections officer history.
I think it could be
this guy's in charge of the
record or
Rover.
I have nothing to do with that. All I'm saying is like this happened here in our home county. Somebody was accidentally released from the county jail.
What was his name?
It's like maybe it could be shoddy record keeping or not knowing. You know, it could be a number of factors that could have contributed to somebody being accidentally released from a correctional facility, whether it be a county jail or a state prison.
Wow.
Maybe they poisoned the guard with some soap.
I don't know about that, Snitz. Okay,
All right, I've got to take a break. We'll be right back. We'll tell you what's coming up on The Aftermath on RMG Plus. We'll give some stuff away. Don't forget, if you're an RMG Plus subscriber, right now you can go online at roverradio.com and purchase your official Dumb Cheated on His Wife with a Prostitute in Nevada t-shirt. I think they're great. I love the design. I love the color. I love everything about it. I can't wait to see these out in the wild on people. There's a photo of it. It looks kind of like the Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas sign or whatever it says.
That's what it looks like at first glance.
Right.
And you actually read it and go, wait, what? What does it say?
Yes. You've got it. I love the shirt. It's great. So you can get that at roverradio.com. And it's only for Plus subscribers right now. For everyone else, Friday. You'll have Friday and Friday only to get that shirt at roverradio.com. In the meantime, also for Plus subscribers, if you want to get a Rover's Morning Glory lanyard or a copy of Jeffrey's book, The Cuck Cook, I recommend that only if you're a big fan of the show. It's really a great book with a lot of inside jokes. The photography is great. The print, it's all great. It's very professionally done. But I've warned people about this before. I don't want you to get something you're unhappy. If you're a fan of the show, I think you'll like it. If you get all the inside references to the show, I think you'll love it.
But you can't cook the recipes.
Oh, God, no. No,
you'll die.
No, it'll kill you.
But the jokes are good.
Yeah.
And it's very pretty.
But I wouldn't feel good if I said, you know, we have a lot of fans that are newer fans that have only been listening to the show for 6 months, or they're listening to us in a Blacksburg, Virginia for the past couple months, and you go, I don't know. I barely even know who all the people on this show are, let alone the inside jokes. I don't want you to purchase a book and get it and go, what the hell is this thing? You don't get any of the jokes because it's everything in it is an inside joke about Jeffrey and ties back to a story about Jeffrey who's been over 10 years just giving us ridiculous amounts of crazy content. So, yes.
Let's say, well, you're right in one regard. No, it's 9 years. 9 years.
I knew it.
Let's be accurate here, Rover, but you're close, but no cigar.
For instance, like there's a popcorn chicken reference in there.
Oh, God, that's good.
You only get popcorn chicken if you are a fan of this show.
Boy, I can use some popcorn chicken right now.
Exactly.
Boy, I can go for some popcorn chicken right now.
So you only, he is touching the microphone during that sound clip.
Popcorn chicken right now.
Yep, of course he is. He's just touching, always constantly touching that microphone. Doesn't matter what he's doing. Really go for some popcorn chicken. Really go for popcorn chicken. Yeah.
So that phone?
You just don't. You
got to stay off that phone.
You just want. He's on his phone right now in the hallway. You just won't get all these inside jokes. But the reason I bring this up.
Is there?
Yes, the Cuck Cook is on sale for everyone. Only Plus subscribers. It's only available. Nothing's for sale except to Plus subscribers right now. The Cuck Cook is on sale.
Okay.
The lanyards are on sale. Big discount. And, of course, the dumb T-shirt, Dumb Cheated on His Wife with a Prostitute in Nevada. That is available at roverradio.com. As we speak, only to Plus subscribers right now. And then Friday, it will be available to everyone. Friday and Friday only, it will be available. So if you don't have a Plus subscription, maybe you feel Rover. Don't pressure me into getting a Plus subscription. You don't have to. You'll be able to get it on Friday. We just did this for Plus subscribers so that they would be able to have some extra time. They wouldn't be forget about it. They can take their time, do what they want. All right? And to come back, I will tell you what's coming up on RMG Plus on The Aftermath. They'll get started shortly, and we'll give some stuff away right after this. Hang on.
Rover's radio station. You can ask Alexa to play Rover's Morning Glory on iHeartRadio. This is WMMS. promise this will be the best 5 hours you've ever wasted in your life.
You could puke now.
Roper's Morning Glory.
What's Jeffrey mad about?
They want him to fix the lights out there that are buzzing.
Oh, yeah?
The maintenance guy came up, Frank, and he's like, Jeffrey, why don't you fix it?
That's what he's mad about?
No, I'm not mad about that. I'm just saying I was trying to tell them, respectfully, I am not a certified electrician, and I don't think I'd want to get electrocuted. Okay. All right. So, that's the, you know...
Adrenaline rush, baby! Adrenaline rush!
He was mad because I had a conversation with him about him working for a client and sitting on his phone the whole time, getting paid by a client.
Oh, God.
From the radio station.
I'd love to know what his answer
was. Jeffrey, what do you have to say for yourself? So what, he had an appearance or something?
Yeah. It was me and him. Halloween party.
Uh-huh.
Did you see this? So, because Charlie's not told me anything. He protects everybody.
Uh-huh.
I got word that Jeffrey sat on his phone the entire time, didn't talk to people.
So Jeffrey has an appearance at a bar for a Halloween costume contest or something?
I couldn't believe it. He shows up in his wrestling outfit. That was his costume. Yeah. He just had left the wrestling match.
He's all sweaty.
Yeah, he came right up there from my wrestling show.
And he was mad at me because I was telling him, you need the money. We're trying to help. Yeah,
money. She's like, you got to get there at 10. And Jeffrey's like, I might not get there until 10:30. And I was like, well, what time's your wrestling match over? He said 8. And I'm like, that's plenty of time. He's like, well, I got to take the ring down. And I was like, well, tell the ring guy, no, I have to leave. I mean,
I'm getting paid to go.
I have to go to a job. Like,
right.
A job came up where I'm going to get money.
Right.
I'll help out as much as I can. So Jeffrey did show up on time.
So he was there.
He was totally on time.
Okay, all right.
But then he showed up, Jeffrey. You just seem grumpy. Like, Snitzer, do you have a picture? This was him.
Oh, man.
I couldn't believe it.
Where did you get this?
People started taking pictures of him. They couldn't believe what he was doing.
So he's just sitting on a couch there at the place.
And I kept telling Jeffrey, I was like, you got to stand up and walk around, man. Like, people want to see us. And he just said his feet hurt. That's the only answer I got. That doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I was tired. I just got done doing a wrestling show. Yeah, I shouldn't. I mean, Doogie is right.
Can I ask you a question?
I should have been walking around more. I should not have been on my phone. Hold on.
What'd you get paid at your wrestling event?
Apparently, I didn't get paid anything. So
I thought you were going to cut of the tickets. You were really pushing the tickets this time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I only managed to sell 2 tickets, so I only got $20.
Okay, so
you really didn't get paid anything for going to your wrestling event.
Get a free hot dog.
Hold on, this is an important point.
I want to say this.
Hold on, this is an important point. So you were really tired. You said this is why you were such a prick at the event at the radio station that you got paid for, is because you just got back from wrestling. You were tired from your wrestling event that you got paid how much?
Yeah, only $20.
$20 for.
Okay,
doesn't make sense there?
Yeah,
would be like me. Let's just say,
you had a Star Trek convention?
I come in here today and the show completely sucks and I'm grumpy and I'm in a bad mood.
Just on your phone. You're not even
and
talking.
I'm just, there's 2 minutes of silence because I'm just checking my phone.
Sounds like dumb.
And then you ask me what's wrong, and I go, I have a part time job at Dairy Queen. I worked a shift last night. I'm pretty tired today. You go, wait a second. How much you get paid at Dairy Queen, Rover? Oh, $10 an hour. Oh, what do you get paid here at the radio job? Oh, way more than that.
Priorities.
That wouldn't make any sense, right? Correct. Would it?
No, it wouldn't.
If you don't want to do appearances, that's totally cool. I don't think you really need a car right now, do you?
Well, let's see, Doogie. I don't know what to say right now. I'm not ready to get another car at this time.
Well, Charlie's going to drop you around town.
Where did the RMG Plus money go? Is it gone?
Let's see. I bought a costume before this whole car crash thing. I was out getting costumes from my kids for Halloween.
All the money went towards that?
$139.
Wow.
Damn, what are they going as?
My daughter's dressing up as this character from this thing called Red Ruby, and my son's going as Freddy Krueger.
Okay.
So,
all the money's gone now?
Jeffrey was
I had to pay $100 out of my pocket for a tow for my car from the accident.
Where's the car at?
Your house? Cars in my backyard.
What?
Why would you tow it? Wait, you towed it to your house?
Yeah.
Permanently? Why?
Because, first of all, I didn't want it in an Empire yard. I mean, I'd wind up paying for storage just to get it out to try to sell it.
Right.
So I tried to sell the
parts.
Who's buying this car, Jeffrey?
I have no idea who's... I don't know, but I just thought...
Oh, you should have towed it to a junkyard and just said, got to get rid of it because it's gone. I'm just saying you're going to have to tow it again a second time to tow it to a junkyard eventually.
I'll buy it if I can blow it up.
Ooh, okay.
$20.
20?
Yeah.
$100.
Car's not even worth that.
Okay, $20. Yeah. Let me blow it up.
Oh, that's great.
So, anyways, but I...
Dumb was at the event, Rover, and maybe yes. Dumb... I was walking around...
Dumb, were you there? Could you tell me?
You might be able to shed some light on
what you witnessed at this event.
Well, when I finally found Jeffrey, I caught him having a listener buy him a beer.
Okay,
a listener was buying him a beer, and I really am surprised wasn't able to just sniff him to be able to find him, because I'm not lying to you. This was the worst he has ever smelled. No, Charlie.
Dom, you should talk. You've been farting nonstop throughout the show. It smells like rotten eggs in the office and the hallway.
Well, I got an upset stomach today. That's different. This is natural scent that just got amplified like no other. He smelled so bad, Charlie wouldn't let him do a motorboat. He said, no, ma'am. He's so gross.
Wow.
I did not say that. I did not say that.
Without actually using those words, he said,
he just, he wasn't paying it. He was on his phone the whole time?
He was on his phone the whole time, and then the one time he had the opportunity to, put on a show when he was on stage with Charlie, he completely and totally said nothing. Just stood in the back and said nothing, and then, except for some
weird
thing.
All right, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe you have a rule he can't take his phone with him to appearances anymore.
Well, he's got to be able to call if he needs a ride home, Rover.
Well, like someone has to hold his phone.
Right, with the
one of those locking things, like nobody can even open it. He has the only key.
Like a phone bag.
Jeffrey, listen up.
I got $20.
For the car?
For your car.
I gave you $25. I'll pitch that in with your $20.
Oh.
So you're up to $45.
Can I have your car? So I can blow it up.
Anyone
else?
Car for $45? I'm not putting any.
It's a it's a waste
to blow
right
it
now.
Up.
Yeah, to blow it up on the air.
Yes.
Take the bus out. Broadcast
to a field.
That?
Right.
A field. Somebody's land. Rover.
Get one of those.
Don't know what the legalities are about blowing up a car
about that.
Though.
No. We'll
get the dynamite.
Rover, you got $5? Let's get to 50.
You're
done giving him money?
I'm done giving him money. All right. Charlie, what do you have coming up on the Aftermath on RMG Plus?
We are going to talk about the interview with Sean Spicer. We'll talk about the update on NADS. We'll talk about the interview with the World Series flasher, Julia Rose. And we'll talk about the Jeffrey Saturday night. All that more coming up on the Aftermath.
All right. If you don't subscribe to RMG Plus, sign up now at roverradio.com so you can watch or listen live as they get started in just a few minutes. You can watch there on the website or with the app. You can also purchase, Plus subscribers can purchase early, the Dom cheated on his wife with a prostitute in Nevada. A t-shirt, get that now. I've got to run. We've got to get out of here. We're running late. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's Rover's Morning Glory.
Bye.
Bye. Rover's.